about.
Well, well, here we are.
I want to congratulate you for being on time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
Hey, Ketamine. So I was thinking about getting a new car, and I was trying to figure out what I want, you know, BMW, Mercedes, whatever. But I think I was going to get a Jaguar. And so when I start driving down the freeway, it goes...
I've reached a point in my life where my Truman Show boat has hit the painting.
Pac-Man, is this the hardest training regimen you've done for this fight?
Hardest training.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Anybody else got a question?
I am so frustrated.
And now, the guy went to the doctor. The doctor says, I don't know whether you got AIDS or Alzheimer's. He said, well, at least I ain't got AIDS.
Our feature presentation.
See, because...
See, at Alzheimer's.
That's a joke from Willie Nelson. Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Monday. It is the 23rd of March. Hi, kids.
Hi, Bean.
How are you, Allie McKay?
I'm doing great. How is Mississippi?
Mississippi's awesome.
Excellent.
You're not surprised by that.
I am not surprised by that. Why would I be?
Well, I'm just... You know, I've been working on this show for a long time, and I'm used to being mocked roundly for everywhere I go on vacation. But there's actually something beautiful and wonderful and fun and interesting and exciting to see about every state in this country.
I believe that.
And I think most people don't go to places, outside of a few popular tourist attraction cities. You know, people go to Chicago, and they go to Boston, they go to Miami, they go to Las Vegas, you know, Los Angeles. People go to places like that, but people miss a lot of what's great about America when they don't go to the cities that are a little bit and towns that are a little bit off the beaten path, I think.
I get that.
So it was fun. Anyway, you guys have fun last week?
Ish. No, absolutely. Got to know Kevin a little more. Got to know Chip a little bit more. Uh-huh. Got to know that Chip and I are actually the same exact height, which was disturbing to a lot
what?
Of us.
What? Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
What?
I've been on the Chip train of like, ah, you're so short. Look at how little you are. And then I took my heels off and everyone kind of went, I'm sorry, what just happened?
How are you? Wait a second.
Yeah.
I thought Chip was like half your size.
Yeah, so did a lot of people.
Do we think of you as being taller because of being on TV or something?
Yes, and the size of my head is very large. I think that plays a part, so...
That is disturbing.
Yeah, Kevin has started to Photoshop her into things now, too.
Yes. Oh,
it's a good time.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a good time had by no one.
So we're working with a bunch of midgets now.
Exactly.
Basically is what's happening.
Yeah, same exact height. And I thought, okay, I'm going to stand next to Chip. It's at least 1 inch taller.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. So Christine, Chip, and me, 5'2" club.
So that sounds like... therapy waiting to happen for you, Allie.
I think so. I've been beaten down in a whole new way.
Beware of the midgets.
Exactly.
They're taking over the world.
It's true.
They certainly are in this show. Hey, speaking of traveling, if I can give one piece of advice to Kevin and Bean listeners, I know it seems like a pain in the ass to go down to the airport, fill out paperwork, and pay $100, but do it. If you travel anything more than a couple times a year, get the TSA pre-check. Do that. The TSA pre-check is awesome because one of the reasons that people don't like traveling is because of what a pain in the ass the airport is and the whole having to take off your shoes and having to take off your belt and having to take off your coat and having to take your laptop out and having to take your liquids out. All of that goes away when you have the TSA pre-check. And I've had the pre-check for many years now, and it is always worth it. And you do it one time, and then you're done. And I know, like I said, it seems like a pain to do, but it's totally worth it. And the reason I bring that up is to bring this story up before we get started today, which is I read an interview with a guy who is a TSA employee at the Hartsfield International Airport in Atlanta. He's been working there for a long time, and they asked him about the interesting things that he has seen people try to get onto an airplane. Now, there's all the stuff you would expect. You can't imagine how many weapons every single day are taken away from passengers trying to board planes. Almost none of them, as far as we know, with ill intent. It's not like these passengers are planning to hijack a plane. They're just trying to travel with a gun. Either they think it's okay for some reason because they don't travel much, or they forget that they have a gun in their luggage because they're just used to going places with firearms. All right. So forget for a moment all of the guns that this guy sees every single day at the airport. Here's some of the other things that he talked about, people trying to get onto airplanes in Atlanta. A man in his 60s was wearing a cast on his leg that turned out to be made out of cocaine. And he might have gotten it past customs if not for all the additional cocaine that was found in his luggage was prompted further searching that led to us finding the cast.
So he tucked it into the cast or the actual
cast? The actual cast was made out of cocaine.
What?
How smart is that,
by
the way?
That's kind of brilliant.
A lady tried to smuggle a sedated baby tiger in a suitcase with a bunch of stuffed tiger toys. But the suitcase went through an x-ray machine, and the tiger has bones, so it was able to be seen. The tiger was taken away from her, did live, and was donated to a local zoo. That horrifies me when I see people trying to smuggle animals through the airport.
That's crazy.
A man was busted for trying to smuggle a pair of pygmy monkeys inside his underwear. The monkeys were fine and donated to a local zoo. Monkeys
were they fine? Yeah.
They were not fine. They were not scarred fine. Is what they were. A woman was found pushing a dead body in a wheelchair through the Atlanta E-Concourse on her way to catch a flight. Here's the best part about this story, by the way. The body turned out to be her deceased husband. She did not know he was dead. She just thought he was sleeping.
Oh.
It was discovered as they were going through security that he had passed.
Oh, come on.
A monk was caught trying to board a plane with the bones of a nun in his suitcase. He claimed she was a saint, and he sought to bring her remains back to his monastery.
I get it.
That seems like that would be allowed, by the way.
I would think so.
I would think. I mean, if the person, I mean, if you haven't killed the person or something, it seems like you would be allowed to transport human bones. Birds in a bra. When a lady's breasts seemed to move on their own volition, well, we found out she was sent to secondary inspection. It was discovered she was carrying 4 baby parrots in her bra.
What is okay. happening?
And finally, a human head was discovered in a suitcase for a woman who was heading to Haiti. She was cited for bringing a she was coming in from Haiti. I take it back. She was cited for bringing a decapitated human head into the country without the proper papers. This is actually an offense. She said that she was bringing the head home to help keep away evil spirits. She was also charged with transporting hazardous materials and failure to declare the head.
I'm thinking there should be a checkbox for declaring a head.
I would think, I would think that's the type of thing you want to give people a heads up on. Who thinks when you get a job at an airport that you're ever going to come across working with tigers, bones, human heads?
Oof. I wonder what airport has the weirdest stuff try and come through.
I would, you know, I think Atlanta's probably a pretty good guess because aren't they the busiest airport in America?
Yes, a hub for a lot of airlines, but also Miami, because if you've ever tried to get through Miami Customs, oh, good Lord, that's a reality show waiting to happen.
Why? What's different about Miami than some
it
of the other?
It is packed, just packed. I feel like it's busier than anywhere, and it's just some of the worst people in the world.
And all the people coming in from the Caribbean and places like that, plus the Florida factor.
The Florida, that's one. Let's be honest. That's where I was going. Just
that's
Florida.
That's probably what it is. It's Florida. Anyway, so I didn't have anything as exciting as that happening on vacation, but it is good to get back. And we do have a great Kevin and Bean show for you. So let's talk about that now.
You're my man. I just love everything about you, period.
Thank you very much. Mr. T has a new TV show. Have you ever met him, Allie?
I haven't, but I heard when he was in here, everyone fell in love with him.
We wanted to vote for that man for president. He's one of the best humans on earth, and I'll watch anything Mr. T is a part of. But he has a new TV show we'll tell you all about coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the return of our old friend Doto, whom we haven't spoken with in a long time. He is back, the international man of mystery. He's got a new career path. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Doto may not want to make it in show business after all. He may have chosen a new career. We'll find out what that is. Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show is going to join us with a recap of all the exciting NCAA tournament action over the weekend. I don't think there's a bracket alive in America anymore, but we'll see what Matt has to say about what happened. One more episode of The Walking Dead left for this season. It closes out on Sunday night with a special 90-minute episode, and we're going to talk to the executive producer of The Walking Dead, Gail Ann Hurd, on the program today. And we also have, I don't know if you guys saw this story out of India about the parents who are helping their kids cheat on a test. Ingenious the
Insane.
Way they tried to do it.
Insane.
Ingenious.
Insane.
And I know this is right to this speaks right to the wheelhouse of the Kevin and Bean listeners, because we've got cheaters in our audience. We're going to be talking to you about what you've cheated on and how on the program today. Plus, Ralph Grauman, I understand, is just back from his own travels. He spent the weekend in Canada. What's that about, eh? We'll find out and take a look at the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock. Dave Grohl hinting. How about turning on Ralph's mic there, Chip?
No, it's all right. I'm fine. I'll just be over here quietly.
It's like having Kevin back.
I'll be over here. Shh, be quiet.
Dave Grohl is hinting that there may be a second season of the Sonic Highways documentary TV series, this time based in Britain.
Yes.
That would be cool, right?
It would be.
Love that show so much.
Cool.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
What's up, Bean?
Welcome, I guess I can't welcome you back. You've been here.
Yeah, I've been here working. Where have you been?
I'm the one who's back.
Bob, welcome back to you.
I was
Mississippi burning.
I can say welcome back to America. I understand you spent the weekend north of the border. Tell me about Toronto. I've never been to Toronto.
You vacationed in Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and you've never been to Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
I have not. It's
been
on my list.
This is why F you.
It's been a city I've heard great things about. I hear it's one of the best cities in the world, but I just haven't been yet.
It truly is. Yeah. Toronto was remarkable. It was my first time to that metropolis as well, and I had a blast, and the people there were amazing. Lots of Kevin and Bean love up there, by the way. They all say hi.
That's great.
A lot of people listen via podcast up there in Toronto.
And it's right across a bridge or a river or something from Detroit, right? It's super close to Detroit?
Very close, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And, we were doing Hollywood Babylon there this weekend, and a ton of folks, obviously from the Toronto area, but we had people driving in from Detroit and from Rochester, New York, and other places upstate New York, and it was like 1,300 people.
Wow.
And we had a special guest. Shannon Doherty came on stage with us. She's a sweetheart. Because Kevin has announced that he is doing a sequel to his cult classic film Mallrats that Shannon was a part of. And so she was up there doing a Comic-Con that was also there that weekend. And so she came out on stage and we talked a little bit about that. But
super fun.
It was a very fun show and it was great. And I'm going to get that TSA thing you talked about.
Yeah, the pre-check is the way to go, man.
Yeah,
seriously, it saves you so much time and just aggravation.
Because getting in and out of Canada is a bit of a customs hassle, like any time you get in and out of any foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
But coming home, bit of a trying day travel-wise. Delays on both ends. A plane that was supposed to get in at 9 o'clock last night. I touched down at LAX at 12:30 this morning.
Oh, no.
So, if I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, then you know why. Got into bed around 1:30 this morning, so I'm cooking with gas.
All right,
let's
hit a couple of minutes of showbiz, then you can go curl up and take a half hour nap.
Speaking of travel, British Airways. I just saw this story this morning. They're having a rough go of it. First, they had they turned around that flight because of the poo smell. Remember,
right.
No one could breathe on the plane, so they had turned it around. Then this weekend, a drunk woman stripped off all of her clothes and started to get familiar with herself in front of everyone on the plane.
Oh, my.
That didn't happen on my plane. Step it up, Air Canada. Get some of those girls on the plane. That would make the delays a lot more enjoyable. There was a girl getting to know herself.
Yes, understood. Yes. Getting a little, pretending she was at home on the plane.
The plane continued on to its destination of Jamaica, but the woman was escorted off the plane by police when it landed. So I'm glad they didn't interrupt her. They just let her do her thing. Indeed. It is Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office here on the Showbiz Beat. Insurgent, as expected, the second in the Divergent series, debuted with $54 million. Did well over the weekend, taking the first spot. Didn't get around the $60 million mark as expected, but still did very well for itself. Cinderella was number two with $34.5 million. Splitting the female audience there, those two films were. Run All Night was third. The Gunman, the new Sean Penn actioner, in its debut. Fourth at the box office with $5 million. Kingsman. Secret Service was fifth. Do you believe?
That is...
I have no idea.
And I would know that from...
Can't give you any hints. Can't give you any information. Do You Believe, in its debut, made $4 million. That was good enough to make it number six at the box office. I'm assuming, and usually this is what happens when there's a title that pops up in the top ten that we're not familiar with, and just by the title, Do You Believe, I'm a guessing. If this is from Kirk Cameron's people.
This is a God movie.
This strikes me as a God movie. Yeah.
But let me tell you what's shocking about this particular God movie that none of us had heard about even going into the weekend. We never even saw advertised.
Do you believe?
Nope.
Sean Astin in the film.
What the what?
Mira Sorvino, Oscar winner Mira Sorvino in the film. Huh. And the great Ted McGinley.
Oh, maybe we did talk about this on Friday.
Cybill Shepherd.
I remember talking about Ted McGinley being in a movie.
Lee Majors.
Wow.
Brian Bosworth.
Come
on.
This
is the craziest cast ever?
I didn't know the $6 million man was in the movie. Now I do believe.
Do you believe? Where do they even play a film like this?
Was Cher in the movie?
Doesn't say so, no. I see what you did, though. A dozen different souls all moving in different directions, all longing for something more. As their lives unexpectedly intersect, they're about to discover there is the power in the cross of Christ, even if they don't yet believe it.
Oh, wow. Bring it on. Save me, Jesus. Do you believe in love and love?
It does not say that is part of the movie. I'm sorry.
Second Exotic Marigold Hotel was 7th. Focus was 8th. Chappie was 9th. And the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, came in at number 10. This weekend, take a look at the celebrity birthdays for today, March the 23rd. Katherine Keener, the lovely and talented actress, is 56 years old today. Blur singer Damon Albarn is 47. Isn't he part of the Gorillaz, too? Isn't he part of that mix?
He's the singer for both.
I heard Gorillaz is working on another album. We're going to have new Gorillaz music soon. They're cartoon people, you know.
That's right.
Reggie Watts, friend of the show. Of course, Late Late Show band leader and comedian. He is 43 years old. Speaking of late night television, don't forget tonight is the debut of James Corden's debut with The Late Show.
I will be hearing that interview that you guys did with James on Friday, along with the rest of you, coming up right after the top of the hour. I have not heard it yet.
Could not have been more charming. And
he's delightful. Allie has a crush, by the way.
We all felt deeply, deeply in love with him when we talked to him. Great guy.
And we loved Craig, too, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Look, they make good choices over there at CBS. A wonderful company. Randall Park is 41 years old today. You know him from Veep.
He runs North Korea.
And he played the Korean dictator in that interview movie. And now he's got that Fresh Off the Boat series on ABC. Kerry Russell's 39, and actress Michelle Monaghan celebrates her 39th birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There is panic, exclamation point, at the disco here on the world-famous Q-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It is Monday morning. You can get lots of Harvey Levin on your TV, especially if you got Channel 11 on with the original TMZ TV show and TMZ Live. Also, TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on the Reels channel. And Harvey joins us every Monday about this time here on the Kevin and Bean Q-Rock. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Going great. Kevin's out this week, so you got Allie and me. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Do anything good. Fun? What is a rich, successful, famous, buff, single guy like Harvey Levin do on the weekend?
Well, first of all, I'm not single.
And I didn't know that.
No. And secondly, I didn't do a lot.
you just binge watch House of Cards or something, right?
What did I watch? You know what I watched last night that was just awful? I thought it was going to be fun. The Royals.
Oh, yeah.
It was just god awful.
It looks terrible. The clips that I've seen look terrible, Harvey.
I think that they could get an award for bad acting. It is unbelievable.
I mean, I know
Harvey thought it looked fun, though. That's concerning to me.
But you know what? I'm so into Empire now.
Oh,
it looked like just a different version of that. So I thought, okay, I'm in for a show, but I could only watch like 15 minutes.
And that's their bread and butter is campy. I mean, that's what they do with those Real Housewives and stuff like that. And they thought, hey, let's make a scripted version of that. I mean, I see what they were going for, but it looked awful. And they got
It's funny because it's like you can either have a really good TV show or you could have a bad TV show that is so bad, that just a bad TV show. But then you can have a show that's so bad it's fun.
Absolutely.
But this one goes beyond bad fun. This one goes beyond just a bad, bad, bad.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Well, let's take a look at what's on the site because you posted a story over the weekend. Look, I don't care about the Kardashians at all. I'm like a lot of people. But this Rob Kardashian story that you posted is actually chilling, Harvey. Tell me what's going on with this family, especially with their relationship with Rob and what happened this weekend.
I don't know what caused this. I mean, I don't know what caused this, but he went crazy this weekend. We have not seen Rob Kardashian in months. I mean, we literally haven't seen him in months. And so all of a sudden on Sunday, Rob Kardashian posts something on Instagram. First of all, he unfollows his whole family. And then he posts something on Instagram. And it's a picture of, remember Amy from Gone Girl?
Sure. The Rosamund Pike character, right? The crazy one.
Psychotic woman. And you know, she's the one that was married to Ben Affleck in the movie. She's a psychotic murderer. And he puts her picture up and then puts, this is my, with all the blood on her. And it says, this is my sister Kim, the bitch from Gone Girl. And what is going on?
What is going on?
Well, you know, there seemed to be some bad blood because remember he bailed on her wedding. just before the ceremony when he just didn't – he had some issue with her over the pictures being
– Or he thought he looked fat, as one report was.
Yeah, whatever. But if you kind of know – I mean, I hate to say this. You know you look fat when you're in the United States. I mean, then you go to Italy. It's not like, oh, I just realized it. So something – something happened
right.
in Italy. And, you know, I don't know what it was, but we haven't really seen him since, and he just went crazy with this thing. He left the picture up, but he re-followed them. So they're all back, they're followed, but the picture's up.
Is he, what kind of relationship does he have with his sisters? I mean,
is
he
good, apparently.
Is he estranged from them for some reason? Does he disapprove of their TV show or their lifestyle? Does he not get along with them? What do you think the crux of the problem is, Harvey?
Well, I don't think he's really been down for doing the show. And a lot of them are talking about him now, and they're saying, you know, he's got a drug problem, and he's got an eating disorder and all this. So they're all talking about him. He may be pissed off about that, but I'm speculating. I mean, I don't know. We haven't heard from him. We have literally heard nothing from him. And then all of a sudden this.
Is he fabulously wealthy as a result of being a Kardashian?
You know, he's benefited from it for sure. But, you know, and the last I knew, he was living at home up in an upstairs room. But he is in bad shape. I mean, this guy is in bad shape. I mean, we had some... You know, he's got issues, and it's sad.
Like I said, it's chilling to say that publicly about your sister. You know, forget the fact that they're celebrities or what we may think of the Kardashians. I mean, this is his sister that he basically is calling a crazy psychopathic bitch online. You know,
that's what he did.
All right, one more thing, real quick, before we let you get to your meeting, and this is, I can't believe that we're still hearing any fallout from Justin Bieber throwing eggs at his neighbor's house. I thought that was done and settled and gone. Why is this back on your site, Harvey?
I think he did too. It's a weird situation. There's the neighbor that he had, Jeff Schwartz, the guy whose house was egged. He got $80,000 from Justin as part of Justin's criminal plea deal to repair all the damage. Now he's suing, and we are told that, we've seen the lawsuit, we put this on the site, that he is saying his reputation got destroyed because Justin, you know, spit in his face and called him all sorts of names, and he says that, you know, he's an online auto industry trader, and it's ruined his reputation because when you Google him, all this stuff comes up. The weird thing is that I don't necessarily think a lot of bad things came up about Schwartz. It was mostly bad about Justin.
Absolutely.
I'm not quite sure I understand it, but he called Justin's people up, we know, and asked for $1 million, and they told him to go pound sand, so we filed a lawsuit.
Harvey, you're an attorney. Does this guy have any claim that his reputation was ruined by being the victim of a crime?
I find it really weird.
Yeah, I do too. It's a shakedown, right?
I mean, I just find this whole thing really weird. I thought this was over and done with, and I don't know how he's going to prove that his reputation got damaged. I mean, he was, you know, he got his house egged, but that's not egg on his face. It's on
right.
Justin's.
Exactly. All right, you can find all this on the site. You can also see a very touching story about Paul Walker that's up on the site and what's going on with Little Twist, too. There's a bunch of great stuff up at TMZ.com. Fox Channel 11 for the TMZ TV show and TMZ Live, which airs every afternoon at 4, and TMZ Hollywood Sports airing on the Reels Channel at 3. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, guys.
Ralph Garman's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Matt Money Smith from the Petros Money Radio Show joins us next hour to talk about the weekend that was college basketball. How are you girls doing in your pools, by the way, in the office pools?
I am fourth from last.
I am last. By a long shot.
is some receptionist who doesn't know anything about basketball who bets based on the color of the uniforms in first place, as is usually the case?
Shockingly, I believe it's Dave, the king of Mexico.
What?
Yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
Well, Dave knows what he's talking about. All right. Hey, I was thinking about this over the weekend when I saw that sad story about Vern Troyer. You remember Mini-Me from the Austin Powers movie. He had a seizure. It looked pretty serious for a while, but apparently he's going to be fine. He was in Texas signing autographs at a Comic-Con. And I was thinking about guys like Vern Troyer who can't really get a traditional acting job. Let's face it, not a lot of jobs for a guy like Vern Troyer. What does he do with the rest of his life? He has that taste of superstardom when the Austin Powers movies are being made. And then once those are done, what does he do with the rest of his life?
Hmm. That's very sad to think about.
It is. I mean, I guess one answer would be you get out of show business and find yourself a real job. But there are a lot of guys like this. And you think about Vanilla Ice, for instance, or all the troubles he's had. I mean, he was super popular for a couple of years. And then 25 years later, he's still trying to, you know, scratch out a career in show business.
And people think he's stabbing people, and right. He's not.
I heard that on the radio, man. That could be true. Well, Mr. T may be going down the Vanilla Ice path. Not with the stabbing, but with the home improvement TV show. You remember Vanilla Ice had that that program on the HDTV where he was renovating houses.
Mm-hmm.
I think they also did one with Reverend Run from Run DMC. I think Daryl Hall had one. Well, now Mr. T is going to be doing a show on the DIY Network. I'm sorry. And it's called I Pity the Tool. And yes, it's called I Pity the Tool.
I'm in right there. Come on.
He is going to be helping families remodel rooms in their home. Now, I have no idea whether Mr. T, who, by the way, great guy, love Mr. T, does he know anything about home improvement? Or did they literally just hire him because they thought, oh, if we hire Mr. T, we can call it I Pity the Tool. Let's do that.
Sometimes they do that. They find a great title, then they're like, let's see what we can do.
Well, I have many questions for the great Mr. T, and we thought, hey, let's bring him back on because we've got a good relationship with him, and he joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Mr. T. How are you?
I don't like what you're saying, sucker.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean any disrespect. I just didn't know if you had any, if you were handy at all with a hammer.
What do you know? What do you mean? I don't know if they can do renovations or not.
Well, I don't. How would I know that? I saw you in Rocky III. That's the extent of what I know about you.
I'm Mr. T. That's why.
I know you're Mr. T, but that doesn't mean you know how to renovate homes. That's an actual skill that you have to learn.
My big part of renovating homes is tearing homes down. That's what I do best.
Okay. Oh, sounds like you got some tools right there.
That's my penis.
Wow. Okay.
Tearing down walls with my penis.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty lady. I hear you over there with Bean. Why don't you come over here? I'll show you what a real man can do.
Oh, Mr. T, I'm wondering.
Get rid of that Bean. Come over here and see what a real man can teach you. I'll give you one of these.
Okay, that sounds like a real tool.
That again is my penis.
Oh, I'm wrong again. Okay.
I'll let you know when it's not my penis.
Okay.
So we should just assume if we hear any sound effects on your end, Mr. T, it's your penis.
That's right, sucker.
How will they show that on the DIY Network?
I guess they'll blur it out.
Okay.
Okay. So Mr. T, what have you been doing for money until DIY came along and said, let's do a TV show? Like, what does a guy like you do to make a living years past being in the Rocky movies?
Now you're really starting to tick me off, fool. I do lots of things to make money. I appear at car wash openings. I sign autographs. I do anything to make a dollar.
Okay.
Because I work hard. I'm from the streets of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to have to work hard.
Uh-huh.
And rise up. You don't give me a shot. Oh, you paper champion. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to go down. I'll fight the fight with you.
Okay, we're not boxing. We're not in a Rocky movie right now.
My prediction, pain.
That's right. That's what I understand.
But it's me. I'm going to be tearing down houses and building new houses with my team of designers. Well, I'm pretty sure they're homosexuals. I call them the gay team.
Ali, you want to take a guess what that is?
I am going to go hammer.
No, penis.
Okay.
Hey, indeed. Legendary movie and TV producer Gail Ann Hurd on the program today. She's the executive producer of a little show called The Walking Dead. She joins us later this morning on K-Rock. Also, Doto, the international man of mystery. And I understand that I missed a banner week last week while I was on vacation of Moments With.
Boy, Kevin was just in overdrive.
You guys were just generating them at an alarming rate.
Yes.
So I want to get caught up on all of that when we return right after the top of the hour. First, third time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I beat you, let me give you something. How many times have you heard that, huh, Allie?
Yesterday.
Passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7.
Yay! Wait, are they not fast anymore? Are they just furious?
They don't have time to talk about being fast. That's how fast they are. Now they're just Furious 7.
Okay.
They don't have time for the whole title anymore. It's going to be just Furious 8, and then 9, and then just 10. The next one will just be 10. If you'd like to see Furious 7, we're having a special K-Rock screening.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I didn't even yet, Rod. March the 31st at the AMC City Walk up there near Universal Studios. By the way, they're kicking off their big ride there. They got a Furious 7 ride. They're going to be doing it at the theme park up there at Universal. It's supposed to be pretty awesome. Furious 7 is in theaters everywhere on April the 3rd, but if you want to see it before anybody else, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Furious 7.
We got to get mugs to drive a car out of an airplane. See how that works.
Just in general?
Yeah.
All right. I'm all for it.
Tribute to the film.
Let's do it. What kind of car?
Doesn't matter.
Get something really sharp.
Something heavy.
Something heavy.
Wow.
So it hits the ground faster.
Speaking of movies, it is Monday morning, so we look at this weekend's top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Insurgent, the second in the Divergent series, debuted at number one with $54 million. Cinderella was $34.5 million worth, made number two at the box office. Run All Night was third. The Gunman, the new Sean Penn action film, was fourth. Kingsman Secret Service was fifth. Do You Believe? Holy Roller movie. Number six, made $4 million. Second, Exotic Marigold Hotel was seventh. Focus, Chappie, and the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, came in at number 10. Speaking of movies, the producers of Mission Impossible 5 have halted production so they can figure out the ending. That does not bode well for this film.
Wait, this is the movie that the trailer came out for this weekend.
Yep.
The trailer is out advertising the opening date of the movie and the movie's not done yet?
Nope. They got to work on the ending a little bit. They have to fine-tune things. Apparently, they're not happy with how the film ends.
Did they test it and it didn't
yes,
do well?
Yes.
Oh.
Movie ends apparently with Tom Cruise in bed with a woman. And everyone's like, nope, I'm not buying it. It's too far-fetched. So they need to fine-tune that a little bit and see what they can come up with.
That's kind of pretty close.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, the movie's coming out in July, early July.
Yep.
What did you think of the trailer, Ralph? Did you get a chance to see it? I know you were traveling this week.
I have not seen it yet. I'll check it out this morning.
Tom Cruise is hanging on the outside of an airplane that's taking off.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He's Ethan Hunt.
That's right, man.
Sad news for Twisted Sister fans. A.J. Pero, the drummer for that band, has passed away. But he went in true rock and roll fashion. He was on the tour bus of another band he was in called Adrenaline Mob. And they went to wake him up. And he was unresponsive. He had died in his sleep of an apparent heart attack just at the age of 55.
Ouch.
But he was the guy. The drummer from Twisted Sister from 1982 to 86 and then rejoined later on, but he's the guy in the video. You may remember, what's the big hit song?
We're not gonna take it.
Yeah, he's got that moment where he hits the snare drum with the glitter on it and all pops up in the air, and then he's playing the drums with his bare hands. He was pure rock and roll, so sad news.
That's young.
It is young. Yeah, too young to go. Andrew Dice Clay is getting a half-hour sitcom loosely based on his own life. Showtime says the series will follow the Dice Man as he works in Vegas to resurrect his career while supporting his family and his girlfriend and his ex-fiance and his ex-wife and his mother-in-law and his son's band. Well, you get the picture. The six-episode series will debut sometime in 2016, but they've already ordered a season of it, so you're going to get that.
In 2017, he will have his own home improvement show on the
How
DIY Network.
How dare you, sir? The Dice Man. looks like definitive word that Downton Abbey will be ending after season 6.
No!
Sorry.
No!
Sorry, Dean.
No!
Oh, sweet Jesus.
So good.
Apologies to dogs listening everywhere.
TV Line talked to various insiders on the show. Say the cast's contracts expired at the end of season 6, and many of the actors are eager to move on. As one put it, you can't keep the show going without Matthew and Sybil. I'm sorry, you can keep the show going without Matthew and Sybil, but you can't continue it without the entire Crawley family. And I've always said that. I mean, Matthew and Sybil, that's one thing, but the entire Crawley family?
Thank you. Forget about it.
Right? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm very sad to hear that, though. That's an outstanding show.
Well, as the Brits do, it will have an appropriate length and ending and won't drag on too long, and you won't feel like it overstayed its welcome. So,
I mean, the real fear, honestly, for that show is Maggie Smith might die. I mean,
yeah,
she's in her 80s.
Right. She has said, I can't see how it could go on after the sixth season. I mean, I certainly can't keep going, she said.
No, she did.
She did.
That's her quote.
To my knowledge, I must be 110 by now. We're into the late 1920s, she said about the series. So she's talking about her character being
110. Yeah, I think so. Okay, got it.
But she farts dust, let's face it.
Oh, Ralph.
And we were talking about movies, and one of our listeners, Chana Schwadelneck, you heard me, Chana Schwadelneck, sent me a very angry email about Insurgent, movie that she had been looking forward to for a long time. She said, Dear Ralph, I must confess, I'm a little bit mad at you. I'm a big fan of the movie Divergent. For months, I've been anxiously awaiting the next film in the series. Say what you want about the storyline, but I think Shailene Woodley is talented and charismatic, and I've always enjoyed her performances. That is until I attended a midnight screening of Insurgent. Despite the great visual effects and many louds, I couldn't lose myself in the movie. Instead, all I could think of was the showbiz beat and how Shailene likes sun on her punani. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Shailene likes sun on her punani. Shailene likes sun on her punani. Shailene likes sun on her punani. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Usually you like to try and guess, and that one...
You didn't see that coming. Nope.
Did not.
Nope.
Sunshine. On my
vagina
makes me happy.
Wow. What?
It's seamless. That's just a seamless edit there. You wouldn't even know someone had tampered with the original song the way it's just put together so beautifully. That's the magic of technology these days, that you can just make these seamless edits and no one would even know.
Can't tell where it starts, where it ends.
Oh, Jesus. That's like the Photoshop when you see the big outlines of the other picture on the outside when this one sticks someone's picture on someone else's head. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Catherine Keener is 56 years old.
Boy,
today.
She's talented.
She sure is. Blur singer Damon Albarn is 47. Reggie Watts, comedian and band leader of The Late Late Show, 43 years old. Actor Randall Park is 41. Kerry Russell's 39, as is actress Michelle Monaghan. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You take that mouth into Canada, Ralph? They don't cotton to language like that up there, do they?
You know what? They are very polite. They're polite people.
Very polite.
And they didn't like all my cursing, but you know what? I'm American, goddammit.
I'm surprised they didn't arrest you and you didn't wake up in a Toronto prison this morning after your visit. Hey, welcome into the Kevin Amin Show for a Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it so much. This is Bean speaking. I was out last week. I was on vacation. And you know me, a guy who likes to stay current.
Oh, it must make you crazy when you hear things happening on the show that you aren't privy to and you don't know what's happening.
Yes, it does. It actually does. It makes me crazy, and here's why. Not that I have any great desire to work all the time. I appreciate my time off, and I had a fine vacation. But what happens is now there's going to be a reference made to something a month from now, and I'm going to have no idea what anybody is talking about because I wasn't there for the thing.
You won't have the knowledge.
Exactly.
Oh, Bean.
You know I like to stay correct.
So sad.
Now, I have a couple of questions about things that I heard about or saw written about online that I want to ask about. But why don't we start with the moments with?
Yeah.
Because I understand, and I hate missing a moment with because those are so much fun. And lately, these days, I'm involved in most of them. But I understand that last week was special. Tell me more, Ralph.
Well, Allie is venturing into the world of moments with. She is doing her best to catch up. She's got a lot. She's got a lot to do. A lot of ground to make up, and she's doing her part. And now a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce and Gabbana, the two designers that.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said remember yesterday when Frank said, "Who's Frank?"
Did I
yes,
really?
Yes. I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking about Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie.
Yeah.
I know we're new to working alongside each other, but
to be fair,
to get the name, to get the name.
I'm a huge Babylon fan, yeah. And remembered that you were called
nice
Frank.
Try. Nice try.
Okay, whatever.
All right, so Frank, what's next?
Then Kevin kicked into high gear. I think he took advantage of your absence, Bean, because he's been a little jealous. I think that you've been scoring a lot of moments with points lately.
Mm-hmm.
He was on fire. First, his geography was a little bit challenged.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Senator from the great state of Boston, ladies and gentlemen.
That is vintage monkey right
That's
there.
That's good.
Very
That's
much
awesome.
So.
And by the way, he told us afterwards when he tried to correct himself and say Massachusetts, he was panicked because he didn't know if Boston was in Massachusetts or not. He was confused about that.
All right.
Then we were talking to my wife about some work we were doing around the house and how it involved rope and not having rope. And Kevin decided you don't want to come up short when you're buying rope.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the he didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it. That's for sure.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What was he going for there?
Skimp,
we think
I believe.
Skimp. We believe skimp. You don't skimp on the rope is what he was trying to say instead
so
of he chimped on the rope.
You don't chimp on the rope
You
either,
don't want
Al.
To chimp on the rope, that's for sure. That's one of my favorite sayings is don't chimp on a rope. And speaking of sayings, we went into a long investigation into Kevin's weekend in South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
I'm so sorry that I missed the recap of that. Did he have a good time?
Literally went wire to wire from Friday after the show till just before we started the show on Monday. It was just wire to wire in Austin, Texas, of just nonstop partying and drinking with the monkey. And as you know, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Under the best of circumstances, with rest and relaxation, sometimes he comes in questionable on Monday.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Got up at 9, made my flight, came back sharp as a tack today.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He couldn't write it any better as he tried to say sharp as a tack, came out with shark as a tap.
How did his thing go in Austin with Jimmy Kimmel, by the way?
By all accounts, it was great. I mean, he made national news by recapping Jimmy's clogged urethra story.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got picked up by Entertainment Tonight and a bunch of other major news outlets because Kevin recapped the story of how he and Jimmy went to Dr. Drew to get his pee hole open.
His penis, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had a great time, and the rest of the time was just spent at the bottom of a glass for Kevin, apparently.
Yeah, I did see he was partying with Busta Rhymes pretty late on that Saturday night. Speaking of the work done at your house, Ralph, remember when I was infested with the rats earlier this year?
Yes.
Did they make it down to your house? Did I get rid of them and they fled and now they're in California?
We have not the same situation as you had. We've got roof rats, which they haven't made their way into the house. They're not eating our food or anything. Like, they're not munching on bananas in our kitchen like they were at your house. They're just on our roof, and they're getting underneath the Spanish tiles. And they, because of the acoustics and the situation of the roof, you hear them scurrying around and scratching under the roof. And it's very infuriating. And it's hard to sleep at night while they're dancing over your head and stuff. It's just a nightmare. So we've been working furiously to try to get that situation solved, and I did tell the story last week how it involved me dangling my wife off of our roof with an extension cord wrapped around her waist as she tried to put barriers up on the various lines that go to and from our house.
How do you call your wife into that assignment? Don't you hire a dude for something like that?
Well, first of all, no, because it was one of the situations where we were so fed up with it, and we were so at our last straw that we said, we just need to do something. And we just like went into action. We didn't have to, we've been through like three different rodent companies, and you make an appointment and you wait a week and a half, and then they come and they reschedule. And it's 2 weeks before you get anybody to do anything.
And you need you need a result.
We need a result. So we just got up there on the roof, and my wife got the vote because she's much, you know, she's a petite little thing. And so I just tied a rope around her, and I just dangled her off the roof and just had her get to work.
Well, that sounds safe.
Well, yeah,
except that it wasn't a rope.
No, it was an extension cord because I chimped. I chimped on the rope.
Did it work? Are you roof rat free
so far? Knock wood. Okay. We have been sans rats.
All right, last question France. I have for you. Again, as we're catching up, we're recapping for me and for anyone else who wasn't with you last week, because when I left the Friday before my vacation, you did a story about James Van Der Beek. Basically stealing a dog, if I remember correctly, from some poor person who was trying to adopt a dog from the shelter. And we were horrified by the news of what had happened. And then we said, oh, look, we've got James Van Der Beek coming in for his new CSI show. Let's get the update. Did you confront him on being a puppy stealer?
We did. We at the end of the interview, we brought that up. Kevin was smart enough to wait till the end of the interview. I was afraid he was going to lead with it. But we waited till the end. And we confronted the Beeks with that story. And it turns out that there was a lot more to the story than was published in the tabloids, which, as you can imagine, is often the case.
They sensationalized it to make him look like a bad guy, probably.
Exactly.
Like they do.
It involved his kids and some miscommunication and some shady behavior from the people who were getting the dog up for adoption. But we got to the bottom of it. Do we have the tape? Do we have tape of that? No? Anyway, we got to the bottom of it, and it turns out that it was his kids. You know, his kids fell in love with the puppy, and he was going to get both of these two brother and sister puppies that had been raised together, and the other person only wanted one of them. So it really was the best thing for everyone that he come out ahead. So when he explained it, it was perfectly.
So he turned out to be a good guy at the end.
A great guy. It was a great interview, and he's a terrific guy. We really enjoyed having him on.
And he also offered to pay for the woman's dog if
That's
she wanted
right.
to get another one.
He was going to buy her another dog.
Also left out of the interview as well. So
yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah, no one mentioned that in the story, that he was also willing to buy this woman another dog. She
good times. Hey, let me hear the Boston one more time as we go to break here, because that could be one of my favorite moments in a long time from Kevin. And then when we come back, we'll talk to the International Man of Mystery. Doto joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's coming right up. Hit it, Steve.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Allie McKay.
Bean.
When you woke up this morning, you had no idea that it was going to be the best day of your life, did you?
I had hoped, but I didn't have a lot of faith.
Well, congratulations. Today's your day.
Allie, meet Doto. Doto, meet Allie. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babes.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man. I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Doto, International Man of Mystery, man. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Doto, who joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doe, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Kevin Bean, how's it going? It's been a while, Bean. I told Dave that I was looking at the LAPD because they have a job fair.
All right, hold on. Whoa. Slow your roll there, player.
We're not at the LAPD yet, Doe, but we are going to get there. Say hi to Allie McKay first. I don't think you've met Allie, have you?
Well, hi, Allie. How are you doing?
Doing great, Doto. How are you?
Good. You're good. Yeah.
Okay. Doe, I just because I know you're too shy to ask right out of the gate. She is not 5'7 or 5'8. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's not going to be right for you.
I wasn't going to ask that, Kevin Bean. I was kind of sad, Kevin Bean, that the one of the famous public figure died yesterday, Kevin Bean, in Southeast Asia.
A famous public figure died yesterday, Doe? Who was that?
Yeah. It was with the guy, Singapore.
Singapore. I remember him well, yeah.
The guy Singapore? What are you talking about, Doe?
Yeah, but I thought he ruled the country with an iron fist. He came from nothing and brought the country to economic prosperity, and he died in 91. I thought that's kind of pretty sad, right, Kevin Bean, that someone with that type of talent passed away, right, Bean?
Well, he was 91 years old, and it sounds like he had a pretty good and a pretty productive life.
Yeah, but he promoted clean government, clean environment, and no corruption. So it's almost like a totalitarian society. At least that works in that society, right, Kevin Bean?
Well, I don't know if you ever should rule with an iron fist, Toto. I still believe democracy is the best form of government.
Yeah, that makes sense, Bean.
That's all right, actually
I'm
Ralph.
I'm Ralph. That was Ralph. That's okay.
Well, listen,
if I go to Seattle, Bean, do you mind if I visit you 7 days a week, Bean?
No, hell yes.
Can we pay for that?
That's exactly what he wants you to do, Doe.
I insist,
7 days a week.
I insist on it, first of all. But hold on a second. Dave told me that are you in Portland, Oregon right now?
Yeah, I'm there for a few days with my cousin.
Why are you in Portland? Just visiting family? That's it?
Yeah, because I like the green, Kevin Bean. I like the environment. It's more calmer.
It's more calmer.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to drive to Seattle. You know I'm only 2.5 hours from you.
I never drive to Seattle. I flew, Kevin, being United Airlines.
Right, but what I'm saying is you're already in Portland. You can either drive or fly, but come up and see me this week. Let's hang out, Doe. I'll show you around town.
I didn't know you live in Portland, Bean. I thought you lived in Seattle, man.
He does, Doe. He just mentioned the fact that you would have to travel from Portland to Seattle to see him, but he wants you to come visit.
And, yeah, sure. I like that, Bean.
Right. That was Ralph. Ralph again. All right, Doe, let's talk about what's on your mind. You have decided, after years of telling us that you hope to make it in the entertainment industry.
When I'm saying, I still like to do entertainment, but I thought that the LAPD, it doesn't hurt to look into it, right? Right? Because a couple of weeks ago, they had a job there, and I guess I was looking into it, and is it very, very selective, Bean, to get into that stuff? Is it pretty easy, Bean?
Oh, no, they'll just take anyone.
Yeah.
The LAPD
is a great pathway to the entertainment industry. A lot of people do go that route.
Yeah, but Kevin, I thought in the LAPD, I thought it's kind of pretty dangerous out there, Kevin Bean, because I thought I don't know who I'm going to be dealing with, right?
Oh, yes. Police work is dangerous, Doe. Of course it is. Yes. That seems to be obvious, right?
So, Doe, hang on a second here. Why are you on a twin career path of law enforcement and stand-up comedy? Why are you approaching both of those at the same time? What's happening?
I don't know, because sometimes I might have too much anxiety on my mind, Bean. I like to do a lot of stuff, but I just have to focus on which one's better. Yeah.
Okay, what is it about being a police? Look, there's nothing wrong with being a police officer. It's a very honorable profession. We are grateful for the people and the fine work that the men and women of the LAPD do for us. We're glad that people want to be cops. But why do you think that's a job that's well suited for you, Doto?
But Bean, what type of test would I be doing? To be honest, Bean, what type of criteria would they be looking for?
There's a physical test. You're going to have to pass that first of all. There's I would assume a psychiatric test you would have to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what type of question would they be asking on the psychiatric test?
Have you ever killed anyone?
No.
Or thought about killing anyone?
And then are they going to do like credit card?
You skip that answer. Yeah. I noticed.
Have you ever had thoughts about killing someone, Doto?
No. Are they going to do like credit card report checks, all that, Kevin Bean?
I mean, I think they would do a standard background check. Yeah, they would want to know what your financial situation was, in addition to your family situation, your psychiatric situation, and your physical. Absolutely. They want to know everything about you to make sure that you're well-rounded and healthy and in a good space to take on that kind of stressful job, I think.
That's just a thought, Kevin Bean. That's something that at least I can look into. At least it doesn't hurt, you know, Kevin Bean.
Are you thinking about being a police officer simply because they had a job fair?
No.
Is it just anyone had a job fair you'd be interested in that career?
No.
Nope.
So in other words, if he drove by NASA, Ralph, right, he might think, hey, I should be an astronaut, Kevin Bean.
CAA, come down to the interview. Maybe just be a spy.
I looked it up for you, Doe, and there is no maximum age limit on applying for a job with the LAPD.
Of course I know that, Kevin Bean. I'm not blind, Bean.
Well, I didn't know that until I looked it up. I thought maybe you were too old to be a cop, but you're not.
But at least it doesn't hurt to look. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it, Kevin Bean. At least it doesn't hurt to look into different opportunities, right, Kevin Bean?
Do you think you'd like to be out on the street protecting citizens from crime in a uniform as a LAPD officer?
I'm kind of skeptical. I've never done that. I've never done that from childhood to now. So
from childhood to now, you've never been a police officer before?
Never,
not even when you were like a toddler?
Well, what I'm saying, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Did you never dabbled in police work, even as a teen?
I never worked in any type of police work, to be honest.
Oh, I'm surprised. Most of us have.
But I love to do it.
Most of us experimented a little bit in middle school.
I love to ask a question about Steven Seagal.
Of course you would.
Well, that's what the LAPD is looking for. That's right. All right, so listen, Doe, we're almost out of time, but here's what I've come up with. Here's my takeaway from this conversation is this week you're going to drive to Seattle and we're going to hang out and I'm going to show you around the town. We're going to do that. That's going to happen, right?
Really? I'm driving to Seattle, Bean?
Yes. You're in Portland. We're a couple of hours away. I want you to come up and visit with me. Why not, Doe?
That could work, Kevin. That could work, Bean.
Okay.
It could work. I hope it does work.
And then when you get back, you're going to go down to the LAPD and you're going to fill out their forms and see where it takes you. See, there's like you said, there's no harm in trying, right, Doe?
But I really like to do interviews, like entertainment, you know, talk show, Bean.
We have offered you 1,000 opportunities to do that, and you never come through. Doe?
Yeah.
How many times has Dave said to you, come down to the station and we'll...
I know. Dave said, you know what, just get... Dave said, if you want to succeed, just get your butt out there, right?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to Officer Toe myself personally. I think this could be a new calling for you, and this could be the right peg in the right hole finally for you, Goto.
Yeah, you know, I think time's going to tell, Kevin, and it's kind of too hard to say. I'm with you.
That's an excellent point, and I think we'll leave it there. Doe, I'll see you soon, my friend. Thanks for calling the Kevin DeBede Show.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Thanks,
bye-bye. Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Gail Ann Hurd is the executive producer of The Walking Dead. In fact, she was one of the guests on Talking Dead last night on AMC. She joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Looking forward to that. First, though, let's talk some college hoops. Our friend Matt Money Smith on the phone from the Petrus Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Actually, since I was on vacation last week, I missed the shakeup, but you got a new name over there. What's your station called now, Matt?
Oh, it is now AM 570 LA Sports, as we are the Dodger flagship station, just kind of more in tune with that as what we want to be all about. People excited about the Dodgers, and
yeah, no
understandably
kidding.
So.
No kidding. Well, listen, I'm glad to talk to you. I haven't spoken with you in a while. How do you and P do in your brackets at your work?
I'd say average, which I think is pretty much what most people in the world of sports media do, because we sort of overanalyze. And you either have to be, you know, a UCLA alumna or alumnus in order to pick them in the Sweet 16 as opposed to, like, Iowa State. Same thing with a team like North Carolina State. You know, you'd probably have some sort of affiliation with the Wolfpack to have them knocking off Villanova. So, you know, that tends to happen. You know, now, I did pick some of the upsets. I did pick Wichita State to knock off Kansas. I did like Michigan State over Virginia, so those things will happen. But you know, in order to get a perfect bracket, typically you will find somebody that, I don't know, just feels like they have something in tune with Shocking Wheat, and they take, you know, Wichita State, and that's why they win their bracket. It's just the way it goes.
Wichita State looked fantastic last night, though. That game was not as close as the score even indicated, I thought.
No, and remember, I mean, this is a team that was undefeated going into the tournament last year. This is a team that was in the Final Four and was about 40 seconds away from knocking off Louisville, the eventual champion. So even though, you know, they were the Cinderella story, they're not a Cinderella team. I mean, they got a lot of the same players. They have a great head coach. So this is a really good basketball team that very well could knock off Notre Dame and freak Kentucky out.
You know, I want to talk about Kentucky in a minute here. When you talk about those brackets, it's funny. Up until Saturday, there was still one bracket left online with ESPN that was still alive, and then they fell over the weekend. But what about that story? I'm sure you saw it, Matt, about how many people had brackets with, like, one right or two right. Like, who are those people intentionally trying to miss as many as possible? Because why would they pick all those number 16s to beat the number ones?
Well, Bean, I'm going to ask you to dig into the Kevin and Bean annals here. And remember when I used to go head-to-head against a bastard of a man named Felt Tip.
I remember the Felt Tip pen, yes.
And Felt Tip would typically come out about 500. So, yes, no, no question. They intentionally are picking, you know, every 16. So you'd have to pick every 16 seed. And considering that's
It's never happened.
Then, yeah, you're intentionally going after it.
All right. Let's talk about Kentucky. Is America rooting for Kentucky because we want to see an undefeated start-to-finish story, or are we rooting for an upset?
I'm going to say no. They don't want to see start-to-finish. You know, nobody roots for the favorite. Come on. Do we root for Michael Milken to sell more junk bonds and get richer? No.
Good reference.
For them, not to mention their foundation was poured in concrete mixed with racism. Adolph Rupp, for God's sakes. You know, it was Whitey McGee. So, no, we can't root for Kentucky. And on top of that, their current guy, John Calipari, is a used car salesman, you know. So, no, I would be wildly surprised if your average fan wanted to see that team go undefeated, especially because they're playing West Virginia, a team with a mascot that carries a rifle and wears a coonskin cap. Come on.
That's exactly why I didn't go for him, and exactly why my bracket was so busted on Saturday.
Happened, Allie? Were there no Northeastern teams left?
How dare you?
How dare you?
No, I was going for Villanova all the way, and they're not going all the way, you guys.
No.
At
is
all.
That because you like that that handsome Jay Wright? Is that what it is?
Yes, I went with the handsome guy on the team.
Now, you know what? If that were the case, Allie, you would have gone for Northern Iowa because maybe you watched Ben Jacobson last night, who, in my opinion, looks kind of like John Hamm with a slight case of gigantism. He's got a very large Frankensteinish head, but
wow,
a nice square jaw and a good head of hair.
I do love that Matt always factors in the dreamy factor when it
yeah,
comes to picking teams.
Do. Come on, why wouldn't you? Look at Steve Alford and his beautiful head of hair. Why do you think UCLA is the only double-digit seed left in this tournament, which, by the way, gives me a perfect opportunity here. This whole Cinderella thing, you know, oh, it's Cinderella. What was Cinderella? What is Cinderella? She's a super rich girl. She has royal blood in her, mm-hmm. and an evil stepmother has kept her down. Mm-hmm. How is Gonzaga, a city full of militia folk and booze hounds, how is that a Cinderella? No, UCLA is the Cinderella. They are the Royals. They are the ones that have been, their progress has been impeded by these one-and-dones and these imposters, these Memphises and Wichita States. UCLA is Cinderella. You follow me?
I agree with you completely, by the way. And I think, why do you say that, Allie?
Come
I
on,
agree
Allie.
Because...
You don't grab that thread? Come
no,
on.
No, I am not going... I think maybe a lot of people think just because no one thought they should have been there, sure, maybe that's your Cinderella, but UCLA will never be a Cinderella story.
No. I'm saying, if you think of the story of Cinderella and mm-hmm. what Cinderella was, it is the wrong story to use for a team that doesn't belong to be there. Cinderella belonged at that dance. You know what I'm saying? She was supposed to be there. She and Prince Charming, or whoever the prince was, are supposed to be together. UCLA belongs in the Final Four.
Okay.
Matt Money Smith on the phone with us for the Petrus Money Radio Show. As an ACC fan and as a guy who follows them closely, you and P both, you have to be pretty proud to see how much representing is going on, right?
Well, Big 12 was kind of the best conference top to bottom this year, and there's not a whole lot of Big 12 going on. Obviously, Kansas just got booted by Wichita State and I think they just have Oklahoma in there. Oh, the West Virginia team is in there as well. So, yeah, ACC, you know, historically because of Duke and North Carolina and the fact that both of them are in there, just speaking of Blue Bloods, I mean, that's the one thing, and I know I'm kind of zigging and zagging here, but when you look at the Sweet 16, yes, you only have the one double-digit seed. You kind of have the nice story with Wichita State there, but you've got Kentucky, uh-huh. North Carolina, Duke, Arizona, Michigan State, UCLA.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go through the last 30 years of college basketball, you have got teams that mattered. And on top of that, you have, you know, the great story of Wisconsin and Frank Kaminsky, a guy who couldn't get on the court. He's now the National Player of the Year. Freakishly long face, almost like an Easter Island statue or something. But a great story. And I think that's kind of, as much as we want the George Mason storyline, as much as we want, you know, Virginia Commonwealth, the idea that you could end up having Kentucky, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Arizona, Michigan State, Duke, and UCLA, you know, as your Elite Eight.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's really, it's kind of the equivalent in the NFL of, you know, of wanting to see the Patriots and wanting to see the Packers and wanting to see those, you know, those kinds of teams that you love that the nation follows, right?
Yeah. I mean, the
stars.
Underdog story is great. And I, you know, if you want the underdog story, then I guess, you know, because I like to focus on sort of mascots and school history, when you think about the Utah Utes, and hey, we're in Pac-12 country, right? So Utah, Pac-12 team, just added a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. A great story. Larry Krystkowiak, the head coach there, doing a great job with them. They're in the Sweet 16. I mean, that's the Utes. You know,
and that's so many white guys beating up so many black guys, too, which is unusual.
And you know what's interesting about that? You think about Duke and founded, you know, it's on the internet. Look it up. I don't know, 1830s or so. Andrew Jackson, what's he? He's a plantation guy from the Carolinas. Yeah, it's found on blood money as far as I'm concerned.
That's right, man.
And then you got the Utes, the Native Americans. Who's the guy behind the Trail of Tears, huh? Andrew Jackson. I think you go for Utah. I mean, if you want to, you know, maybe reparations here, you go for the Utes.
Listen to Buddy.
You like smallpox, huh?
All right. I know we're...
Go for the Blue Devils. Be that way.
We're almost out of time, and we got virtually nothing that is useful out of this entire conversation.
I feel like we got a lot out of it.
But I've enjoyed it very much. Lots of people say money, and as we say goodbye to you, sir, lots of people say that this is their favorite sporting event of the year, bar none. Do you agree?
One and done. That's why. No seven games. That the better team typically comes out and wins. And, you know, hey, it's game two and you got to win four. Who really cares? But the idea that, you know, Kentucky's on the ropes with Cincinnati in the second half, even those 18 minutes left, you're freaking out. You're excited. Yep. This might be it. So that's the difference.
And so many buzzer beaters already in this tournament, too.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what's been amazing.
So, and you know what? And the funny thing, too, is what you get with college versus professional is just the provincial feel. You know, the idea that here's this little Wichita State in the state of Kansas with Kansas, you know, rock chalk Jayhawk country and the history there, and they're knocking off, you know, the David and Goliath stories.
Exactly.
In state. I mean, it's such that you can't compete with these storylines.
How long could you have an Easter Island reference locked and loaded, though? That's my question.
When was the last time I had one?
Yeah.
I'm going to say when the Cavaliers hired Dave Blatt, whose face also looks like an Eastern Island statue.
All right, Matt, we'll be listening for you along with the P this afternoon at 3 on AM 570, whatever it's called now. I don't have it in front of me, but thanks
LA
so much.
Sports. There
LA
we go.
Sports. Thanks for the time. Always a pleasure, sir. We'll do it again soon.
You got it.
Hey, just ahead of Ralph Garman stepping in with the Showbiz Beat here, I want to remind you that we are still doing the Kevin and Bean April Foolish's 2015 Opening Act Contest. The online entry is now closed, but keep listening to Kevin and Bean. That's us. The top 10 finalists are going to be announced on March the 30th, and then we will be asking you to go online and help us decide who gets to open the show. The show is coming up on Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. If you want to go, we got a pair of sold-out tickets to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 right now. If you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067, caller 20. Winning this hour from the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I predict this may be the best ever April Foolishness.
It's going to be great. It's an incredible lineup.
It really is. Tenacious D. If you just got tickets for that show alone, you'd be happy, right?
Yeah.
Just see those guys play.
Or Jay Moore or Ralphie May, you know. It's incredible. It's one right after another.
Absolutely.
It's an evening of superstars. Can't wait.
It is Monday morning, so on the Showbiz Beat, we do take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Insurgent, the sequel to Divergent, came in at number one with $54 million this year. Divergent, Insurgent. What's next? Detergent? Is that the third one where they all wash their clothes? Probably not.
No.
I'm guessing not. Cinderella was two at the box office. $34.5 million. A strong second weekend for Cinderella. Run All Night with Liam Neeson was third. The Gunman, the new Sean Penn film, made $5 million. That was good enough to make it number four. Kingsman, The Secret Service, was fifth. Do You Believe? This is a religious film that we knew little about, but apparently a lot of people went to see it, and it made $4 million, making it number six at the box office this weekend. The second, Exotic Marigold Hotel, was seventh. Focus, Chappie, and the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water was number 10. Speaking of movies, you know, one of the nice things about flying is that sometimes you can catch up on films that you didn't get around to when they came out.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I went to Toronto over the weekend, and on my way home last night, I caught a movie called Big Eyes. It was directed by Tim Burton. It was the story of Margaret Keane, the woman who painted all those paintings of little waify-looking kids with those giant saucer eyes. That sort of kitsch painting that you've seen your whole life but never really knew what the story was behind it. It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, her husband basically pretended
took
he was the
painter.
Took
all the credit for her work.
Horrible.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz and Amy Adams starred, and it kind of came and went at the box office. Didn't make a ripple, but I really enjoyed it. So maybe you want to check that out if you want to see it. when you get a chance. Vern Troyer, best known as Mini-Me, is apparently okay. He had a seizure at the Heart of Texas Comic-Con on Saturday. The Austin Powers host thanked his fans for their concern on Twitter and says that all his tests came back normal, so he's fine. That's like a Bean diagnosis. You know, if you suffer a seizure, you're not fine. I don't care what your doctor says. Something's up with you.
I think he's the healthiest man in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I just fall down a lot and crack my ribs on heaters, but I'm fine. How you been, by the way? Did you faint in Mississippi at all? Did you drop to your knees at any point?
I don't think I did. I think I was fine.
You don't think you did?
I don't think I did.
Oh, okay.
Were you
but
alone?
I was eating at Waffle House so much that I don't think I'll ever faint again. That keeps your blood sugar up pretty high.
Waffle House? What's Waffle House?
I'm
assuming it's a house full of waffles?
Waffle House, Ralph, you would be familiar with it from doing the showbiz stories of late-night police fights with Little John and his posse,
with Kid Rock,
always is at a Waffle House.
Yeah,
it's a 24-hour breakfast joint, but it's delicious. And the first thing I did when I got back home is start Googling Waffle House locations. None in California, none in Oregon, none in Washington, none in Idaho. So I'm gonna be missing Waffle House for a long time.
I'm sorry, Bean. Well, now I know how you'll plan your next vacation.
That's right, man.
You're on the next batch of Waffle Houses.
I'm only going to states with Waffle House from now on.
And Billy Corgan wants you to know and remember that his name is William, not Billy. Last week, during a Smashing Pumpkins concert in Lima, Peru, it was William's birthday, and the crowd sang happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Billy. Happy birthday to you. After the applause died down, the singer sternly told the audience, "My name is not Billy. My name is William."
Oh, jeez.
Could there be a bigger dick move than that?
Why not just take the microphone and say, "I am a giant tool. I am a massive douchebag."
They're singing happy birthday to you. Just accept that.
How if we call you Uncle Fester, you son of a bitch?
Look, I like a lot
F
of his.
Him, F
I
him.
Like a lot of his music.
I don't have time now.
But he's awfully pretentious.
I'm tired. I'm cranky, and I hate Billy Corgan.
William Corgan.
William. No, it's going to be Billy forever. I'm going to be right in his bald face. I'll be like, Billy. Next time I see him, I'm just going to do that for like an hour.
Are you allowed to change your show business name after 25 years, Ralph?
No, turns out you're not.
Like when, who am I thinking of? Who's the NYPD Blue? Was it NYPD? Ricky Schroeder. Ricky Schroeder insisted at some point. You got to be Rick Schroeder, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think if you're a child star, you can reserve the right to, once you become an adult, to
Donny Osmond at one point wanted to be Don.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be Don.
It doesn't
anymore.
Stick, but I can see why you would want to change it. Debbie Gibson for a while was Deborah Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just had to go back to being Debbie because it was just stupid. But I can see why you'd maybe want to grow up. But he was a grown-ass man. He was Billy back in the day, and it was fine.
Yeah, and he's the one who told us to call him Billy, right? He's the one who referred to himself as Billy.
Right.
At the beginning.
Right.
Okay.
And now I'm just going to go around slapping the top of his bald head, calling him Billy. Every time I see him, I go, Billy. Be like a Benny Hill sketch. Bastard. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Ben Hill, by the way.
Michelle Monaghan's 39 years old today. Kerry Russell is 39. Randall Park from
The Dear Leader.
He's not actually the Dear Leader. He played Kim Jong-un in The Interview. You know him, of course, from Veep. And from Fresh Off the Boat, he is 41 years old. Veep's coming back, by the way, in like April. It's very close now.
Yep.
Very excited. Reggie Watts, who starts his new gig as the Late Late Show band leader tonight. He celebrates 43 years today. Damon Albarn from Blur is 47. And Catherine Keener, the lovely and talented, is 56 years old today. You know, it's nice that Kevin's on vacation. We can actually give a bell to a 56-year-old actress, and he's not here to go, "This is a stupid dumb absurd. So old, how did you rebel? Oh, I'm as shark as a top." I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last night, a little TV show called The Walking Dead was on. Following that was a little TV show called The Talking Dead, and one of the guests on that show was the executive producer of The Walking Dead. She is Gail Ann Hurd, the first lady of sci-fi, and she joins us back on The Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Gail. Welcome back, my dear. How are you?
I'm doing well. A little exhausted after last night's episode, though.
Yeah, I can understand why. First of all, riveting, exciting hour of television, and then to do The Talking Dead right after. Which, by the way, you've been in TV for a long time. What a gift to have a show like that be as successful as it is. To have a hit show come after a hit show as a spinoff that same night is amazing, right? That never happens.
It is surprising that people can't get enough Walking Dead that they want to talk about it and go through group therapy with Chris Hardwick.
And Chris is the best host of any of those types of shows that have popped up since then. I mean, he was a great hire.
He is fantastic, and he's actually one of the nicest guys ever.
For reals. All right, so we got a lot to cover with you. First of all, another great season of The Walking Dead. And you said something last night that was a real surprise to me that I did not know, which is that you had a relationship with Chandler Riggs, who plays Carl on the show, that goes back even before we saw him debut as a 10-year-old on The Walking Dead. And I was really surprised by that. How did you know him before?
You know, I did a Lifetime film called The Wronged Man, starring Julia Ormond. And Chandler played Julia's son on the film, and he was fantastic.
And are you generally the type of person, I mean, you cast so many, you know, TV shows and movies over the years, are you the type of person who just has a good eye for talent, who you can look at a little kid and go, all right, he's going to grow up and be a good actor as an adult, too? Because that seems like that would be real tough to figure out.
Yeah, I'm not right 100% of the time. The little girl who played Newt in Aliens...
Uh-huh.
Decided to eschew acting, and I think did one other thing and decided that wasn't for her. So my record's not 100%.
Was the casting tough for The Walking Dead? Like, for instance, was there ever going to be anybody else besides Andrew Lincoln to play Rick?
No. In fact, he was the last person to read for the role. And we didn't even know he was British. His American accent was so good. We saw him online with an audition that he self-taped. And we said, this is our Rick.
How about that? Have you had a million requests from people who want to play zombies on that show?
Probably 2 million. Would you like to be 2 million and 1?
No, I'm not going to ask for that. How many have you said yes to and actually let them do it? Because I know there have been a couple of reporters who have been able to be zombies.
You know, it's really tough because we have such a fantastic group of core zombies in the Atlanta area that we have back again and again. And we need to rely on them for our A zombies. I have to tell you, not everyone can do it well. I would be terrible. You will
really?
Never see me.
Is it harder than it looks, Gail?
Oh, so much harder than it looks.
She just said A zombies. I love that. So there are actually B-list zombies that you'd be like, he doesn't move
Z-list,
his arms so good.
Z-list zombies that don't get asked back.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. One more episode, 90 minutes this Sunday night. I know the fans actually secretly want you to not spoil anything, but so I'm not going to ask you to, but what do you want to tell us about this weekend's episode?
You know, if you can install seatbelts on your sofas beforehand, I would suggest that would be a very good expenditure.
Yeah.
It's going to rock your world.
Well, there's no question that we're at a breaking point in Alexandria, that Rick and the gang are going to have to really come to some sort of agreement with Deanna and the gang if they're all going to coexist. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to keep going the way it's going. That's for damn sure.
Or take it by, you know, strong arm tactics. You know,
yes.
There is not just negotiating table approaches.
All right. One more question on The Walking Dead, then I want to move on to talk about your new documentary, which does look fascinating to me, and that is, how did Carol get to be so badass this year? Is this something you guys always saw coming, or has she always been badass, and I just didn't realize it until this year?
Well, the great thing about Carol, played by the marvelous Melissa McBride, is that, you know, she was very upfront about her badassery, you know, when she saved them at the beginning of the season.
Uh-huh.
What we didn't see coming, I think, except our fantastic writers, is that she could also play this sort of soccer mom, innocuous role so well in Alexandria.
She's amazing. And she's going to be one of the guests on The Talking Dead next Sunday night after the season finale, too. So we should all definitely look forward to that. All right, let's change gears. I don't recall you doing a Kickstarter before for a documentary. Is this new for you, Gail?
This is brand new. It's, you know, I'm a bit of a Luddite, but I have embraced this new technology.
And the reason is this documentary, Man Killer, is important to you. Tell us why.
You know, I think the most underrepresented in television and cinema are Native Americans. And Wilma Mankiller was actually the first female head of state in America. She was elected 3 times chief of the Cherokee tribe, one of the largest tribes in America. And, you know, that tribe is a sovereign nation. And I think it's important to document her story, to create a legacy, because 95% of the people that I meet have never heard of her.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking revolutionary leaders. You've got the Harriet Tubman. You go maybe to Eleanor Roosevelt. You know the history with Rosa Parks. I had never heard of this woman, and that is deeply upsetting.
It's really upsetting because she was remarkable not only as a leader for her tribe, but also as someone who reached out to other communities, was an activist, and yet one of the warmest, most humble people you could imagine.
What does someone do as the head chief of an Indian tribe in the 21st century?
Well, you know, tribal nations have extreme poverty rates. Their services are at a level that you can't imagine other than in many third worlds. And she was able to turn that around for her people, create jobs, expand the roles of the Cherokee Nation in terms of people who qualified for membership, as well as bringing water to areas of the tribe that did not have running water.
Mm-hmm. And I understand from going to your Kickstarter page that the director that you are working with for the Mankiller documentary, you have done two previous documentaries about Native American issues before. So this is obviously, this is an area that you're very passionate about.
Absolutely. And Valerie Redhorse is also of Cherokee ancestry. So this is very important. It's also the first documentary we've done about a woman. The others were about code talkers, the Navajo in World War II and the Choctaw in World War I.
All right. I mentioned you can go to Kickstarter.com. Just search Mankiller and you'll get the information on this documentary. And one of the awesome things about you being behind it, Gail, besides the track record that you already have in Hollywood and the name value that's associated with you, is that you have the opportunity to offer lots of prizes, Walking Dead related prizes for people who want to donate. What are some of the things that people can kind of secure for themselves if they contribute some money toward your film?
Well, speaking of Carol, they can have cookies with Carol. So they can actually sit down and munch on some cookies with Melissa McBride.
Wow.
And they can have a spaghetti dinner with Herschel, played by Scott Wilson.
Nice.
Who actually has Native American ancestry. And there are a number of fantastic prizes with Norman Reedus, who has some Cherokee blood in his ancestry as well.
Oh, how about that? So if you're a huge Walking Dead fan, definitely go to the Kickstarter.com, search on Mankiller, and look for things. There's also autographed comic books and autographed Blu-rays and things like that and other Walking Dead prizes. You can get your name in the credits of this film. There's a bunch of good stuff out there, and you get a chance to learn a little bit about Miss Mankiller, who is one of those unsung American heroes. So you're, what, about halfway through raising the money so far and about halfway into the Kickstarter? So far you're pretty much on track, right?
We are absolutely on target, and I really want to thank everyone who's already embraced the project and pledged. And you know what? But we still have halfway to go in the way that Kickstarter works. If we don't raise our entire goal, which is $150,000 to complete the film, we get nothing.
I guess I don't know how Hollywood works, Gail, because I would think you could call up any studio in town and they would just give you the money to make a movie just based on your track record, no?
No, it doesn't work that way. But what Kickstarter allows you to do is create a community that has an investment equal to Valerie's and mine in the project by virtue of their support. And they will spread the word about this so that it will even have greater awareness when it's available and airs on PBS when it's completed.
Go to Kickstarter, search Mankiller for details on this and all the Walking Dead prizes. Don't forget the Walking Dead season finale airs this Sunday night on AMC and The Talking Dead right after that. Gail, always great to catch up with you on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for all the good work and thanks for the time.
Thank you so much.
Did I hear some harmony? Was somebody singing along there?
Yeah, it's me. It's how I roll.
Well done. Hey, this afternoon at 5, once again on K-Rock, we got your tickets to go to Coachella. It's a pair of sold-out passes plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house.
Coachella.
Plus, Rodney, you'll be qualified to drive home. Can you still drive, Rodney?
Oh, yeah, GTO. Well, just like the monkey mobile.
You don't need the GTO anymore because you're going to have a brand new car, a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. How about that?
I hate the 2015s.
No, you don't.
Not in this case.
I love the 90s. No, the year, not the car. The car is, I love the Abarth.
Well, the grand prize winner is going to be drawn on Friday, April 10th. Again, 5 o'clock this afternoon. You get a chance to qualify. Details at krock.com. Well, there's cheating in the news, you guys. We thought it might be fun to open up the phones for the Kevin and Bean Show. Guilty in this case? Yes, Ralph, they are guilty in this case. We want to open up the phones to find out the kind of things that you have cheated on. There's school test cheating that's in the news. Look, India, like the United States, has a lot of people competing for maybe not a lot of spots at the better colleges in the country.
Right.
You have a lot of people competing for the best jobs in the country, and the competition is fierce. There is extreme academic pressure in a country like India, just like there is in many places here in the United States, to do the best that you can on tests.
Right, because you don't want to ride on the roof of the train anymore. You want to get inside the train.
You want to get a seat, exactly. Yes. But this is a cheating story that has captured the imagination of the world because parents were literally risking their life and limbs to help their kids. You're wondering how? Listen up.
Cheating during exams in India is on a totally different level. This man's passing a piece of paper with answers written on them to a student taking the test. He's not the only one. Many families are also breaking the rules to help teenagers succeed in the school leaving exams. Copying is rampant as more than 1.4 million students are taking the tests in Bihar State this week. Cheating has been on the rise since the state offered rewards of about $160 to lower caste students who were able to get about half of the answers right. This year, more than 1,000 students were caught cheating in 3 days and have been expelled. Bihar's education minister has admitted that there is a problem, but says it's simply too widespread for the government to handle.
Okay, now I know that story was so boring you're probably not still with us, but assuming you heard it, this cheating in Bihar involves parents climbing the walls of the schools and handing answer keys through the windows to their kids in the classroom while they're taking tests.
That's nuts.
Yeah, these are third, fourth, fifth floors that they are scaling these walls.
Scaling
not
buildings.
Just like putting it through the window of a ground floor. They are scaling buildings.
Like, how is it possible that you could ever think that you could get away with that? Like, everybody can see you. You don't have a cloak of invisibility. You're climbing the outside of a classroom to hand paperwork into a classroom where people on the other side can see you as well.
But it sounds like it's so widespread that a lot of people are getting through. They can't catch everybody that's doing it because they're all doing it at the same time.
That's exactly what
it sounds like. It's like a jailbreak.
It's It's so widespread that they cannot catch anybody. So I guess these parents are thinking, hey, maybe I'll get caught. Maybe my kid will get caught and get expelled. But there's a good chance that we'll get away with it.
Maybe I'll be the lucky one and they will get the piece of paper through the window.
I don't think you could pull this one off in America. I don't think you could ever drive down to your kid's school and literally hand the paperwork through the window and get away with it.
No.
But I would be interested to know because, let's face it, Kevin and me listeners, if there's one thing we've learned over the years, we're a bunch of goddamn degenerates, right?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of reprobates.
Our listeners, if there's a way to cheat on a test, our listeners have figured out a way to cheat on a test.
Absolutely. Anything dishonest or untrustworthy, our people are the best at it.
So we want to hear your stories of where you hid the answers, what kind of Morse code you came up with the bird outside who was feeding you the answers or whatever it is that you have going on. We want to hear how did you cheat on a test? What was the answer? Where did you hide the answers or where did you get the answers or what did you do?
Did you ever cheat, Bean? Did you ever cheat on a test?
I never did.
You.
I never did.
Weenie.
Not that I couldn't have used the help. But I think I would have been too afraid of the consequences both in the school and at home.
Yeah.
I just honestly, I think there would have been too much punishment, too much shame to be caught cheating. I just couldn't have done it.
Huh.
How about you?
Yeah. I remember one history exam in particular. I was ill prepared and I wanted to make sure that I at least did a reasonable job on it.
At least passed.
The only time I ever remember cheating was this time I was particularly ill prepared for this particular exam, and I did jot down some pertinent dates and events on a small slip of paper and hid it inside the wristband of my watch.
Where your Nana keeps her tissue.
Where my Nana kept her tissue, that's right. I would bring Nana into the room with me, and I would have her pull her tissue out while I was writing down the answers.
And were you just sweating like crazy?
Yeah, it was not worth it. The sheer terror and pressure and strain was much worse than I would have felt having just trying to come up with the answers on my own in that test situation. It was a horrible experience, and I think it taught me to never do it again.
Did you get away with it, though?
I did, yes.
Allie, how about you?
We actually discussed this in the meeting, and I hate to bring it up, up to all
some of our
you.
Listeners weren't in the meeting.
Yeah, no, to all you dumb listeners who are going to feel bad. But I was in AP classes, so people were saying, "Well, what about you know someone that took the test in first period and you had it in fifth?" No, all my classes were AP, so there was only one of those classes.
So what is Allie saying to me right now?
I'm not quite sure.
I'm really bright and wasn't offered the chance to cheat.
Well, first of all,
you called BS on both.
The jury's out on that, and you didn't
well,
have the chance.
Well, that wore off, I'll tell you that.
You didn't have the chance to cheat. I mean, you weren't that smart, because a smart person would have figured out how to cheat. That's all I'm saying.
And would have ended up with a better job. All right, 1-800-520-1067. How did you cheat? It won't surprise anybody that the lines are chock full of Kevin and Bean listeners. We'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. It's how you want to wake up having lightning yell at you, I'll tell you that. Hey, we're talking about the story out of India. It made international news. You see family members climbing, what did you say, Allie? Third, fourth, fifth floor of the school?
Yeah, actually climbing up, hanging onto the window just to pass the answers to their kids.
And enough of them did it and got away with it that I guess they felt it was worth the risk. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How did you cheat on tests? That's what we want to know. Josh was up first. He's on line five. He's in L.A. He gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling. What's happening, man?
Good morning, guys. Allie, how you guys doing?
Good morning.
So I had to study for a big history final. So there's usually a lot of dates, a lot of stuff that you just can't remember all by studying.
Yep.
And I decided to reprint a vitamin water label with all the answers on it and just have it right there on my desk.
You
Look
should
at that.
Be working for the CIA, Josh. That's genius.
What? So, in other words, that was something you didn't have to worry about your teacher seeing, because if he or she looked up, they would just see a bottle of water on your desk.
Yeah.
Well, so instead of ingredients on vitamin water, you've got the Battle of Waterloo.
Yeah, just dates and just important like tidbits and stuff, and it worked out fine. Never suspected a thing. I even picked it up to take swigs out of it. No big deal.
You are going to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, I predict.
Did you do that more than once? Like, was that your regular go-to for all the big tests?
If I really needed it, if I didn't feel too good about it, I would do that. But I try to keep that one in the back pocket for something like really big, like that history test.
Well done. Well done, Josh. Well, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Michelle Laguna Beach. She's on line eight. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michelle. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Michelle.
So basically, I was in advanced math classes, so we had to use those fancy calculators, the T183s or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would do is that there was like a notes page on that, and then we had multiple question tests, which were multiple choice. And then we would put in there, like, the first person who took the test, like, in period one, would come back and then give us the answers. So when we went, all the answers for the multiple choice questions were there. It would be, like, 1A, B.
Already in your calculator. So you
in
would...
our calculator. So what? They couldn't say you can't use it because they thought we were actually trying to solve the equation.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fantastic.
You're just looking at the notes page. You are – that's smart. It's smart. Sometimes cheating shows you just how smart you are. You may not be learning the facts, but you're showing initiative.
But don't you think, Ralph, sometimes people put so much – thank you, Michelle, for the call. People put so much time and energy into how to cheat that if they put that exact same time and energy, they could just learn the material.
But those problem-solving skills of finding a way to cheat are much more useful in the real world than any fact you're going to memorize to get to pass a test.
Yeah, possibly
the
so.
The guy who did the water bottle label, that's genius, that
is
guy.
Genius.
Pretty good.
AJ writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, my TA friend caught a kid who had written test answers on Doritos and was then eating the evidence. Does that seem even possible to you?
No, that's genius.
Writing
I love this guy.
The actual answer, like in a marker?
You take a Sharpie and you write the answers on Dorito chips. And then when you're done with that one, munch, 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 no evidence.
Corey says, listen to this, by the way. How's this dedication to cheating? I sat through an entire semester of a math class, took all of the tests for my girlfriend at the time. I would just write her name on the top of the test and turn it in. He wasn't even in the class.
Well, that's just shabby bookkeeping on part of the teacher, then, isn't it? Not knowing who's in his class.
All right, let's go to Phil on line four, please, also from L.A. This is one of your people, Allie. Phil is AP as well.
Oh, I took AP. I can't cheat.
Phil, what's going on, man?
Hi, Allie.
Hi, Phil.
So my high school in Los Angeles had a brother high school in New York. This is back in the 80s. And we realized that the AP people from Princeton, really smart guys, were administering the test at the exact same times locally. So what happened was is we would study for the exam, and somebody in New York would finish the test a half hour early, call us up, tell us the AP essay questions in advance. So had you been studying and you knew the essay question a half hour before the test, your stress level went down. You just cranked your notes on that. After about a year or two, the AP system figured it out, and now all the tests are administered at the exact same time.
We got
caught, actually.
So you were using the time difference to your advantage by getting the information early.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the cafeteria monitor, because this is in the 80s, no cell phones, there was one payphone in the cafeteria, overheard a conversation.
Oh, how about that? Oh.
Yeah.
And ratted you out.
So you would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for you meddling kids.
That meddling lunch lady.
Sounds like it. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Phil, another Phil. This in Riverside Line 2, please. Now, Phil, it sounds like, was not the cheater, but he was facilitating the cheaters. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Allie. How you guys doing?
Good morning.
Hey,
Phil. What was going on with you?
So, I was a TA for a trade class back in high school, and what I used to do is I'd have the answers because I'd have to correct the papers. So what I would do is I'd get a box of the clear pens that you can, like, unscrew the top of them. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would just write down the answers for my friends, like 1A or 2B or whatever, and slide it in that clear pen and, you know, just close up the cap. And then I would give it to my buddies, and then they'd be able to take the test, and all the answers would be right there on the pen on their desk. All they have to do is roll the pen over, and the answers would be written real small inside the pen.
Wow.
Now, did you ever get busted for doing that? Because you lose your job, obviously, if you get found out.
No, I never got busted, but I did make some extra cash because, like, some of my friends told, like, their friends about it, and so I started, like, selling the pens. Like, I'd buy more boxes.
Oh, my. That was a system. For, like,
depending on who it was, it'd be anywhere from, like, $1 to, like, $5. So each week I was making, like, $10 from school.
Well, as long as you're making $10 a week, it sounds like that's worth it. All right, thank you for the call.
Why does that guy bother more than the other people? The guy who's making $10 and selling the answers and being like a TA and like cheating the system versus the guy who's doing it for himself.
I don't know. That's a great question, Ralph. I think it's sleazier.
Yeah, it is sleazier.
I think it is sleazier. All right, let's talk to Erlinda before we close down here. She's on line 5. This sounds like some real Mission Impossible stuff. This sounds like this involves some intricate timing and planning. Hi, Erlinda. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, you guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great. What happened to you?
Oh, my God. So my math teacher was completely oblivious to us chicks. I went to an all-girls school, and we would hang out in his classroom during lunch. Math class, and usually our test, was after lunch. He would leave the answers on his desk, and he would go and make copies or go and grab something to eat. We would hurry up, write down the answers, and then we would have them during the test. And we would just have it on a sheet of paper on our desk. He wasn't even paying attention.
Wow.
He's the worst teacher ever.
How did I go from a D to an A? I wouldn't have graduated from high school.
Do you think he knew that and he just wanted you guys hanging out with him?
He just liked the company because he was lonely?
You know what? I want to pretend that.
I mean, he was a teacher in an all-girls school. He wasn't doing anything to get rid of you guys.
Yeah.
Man, I would have showed him a lot more leg if I would have known.
I want to work at that school now.
Thanks, Erlinda. See ya. Let me hear some of that new moment with our friend Allie. Could I, please?
And now, a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that...
I'm sorry, can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said, who's Frank?
Yes, really?
I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking
about
Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie. Yeah.
Well done, Heidi. All right, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It is Monday morning. That means we... can I get some photo sound effect up here?
There we go.
Poor Chip. She's running around on that board over there. It takes her about a half an hour to get from one side to the other with her tennis shoes on, just getting back and forth. Poor little dwarf. It is Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Insurgent was number one, as expected, made almost $55 million, making it number one by far this weekend. However, number two wasn't too far behind. Cinderella had another strong weekend, $34.5 million, made it number two. Run All Night, then The Gunman, the new Sean Penn film at number four, and then Kingsman rounding out the top five. Do You Believe? The Holy Roller movie was number six, second Exotic Marigold Hotel. Focus, Chappie, and the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, still hanging in the top 10 with $2.4 million.
Ralph, did you see Cinderella before I went away on vacation? You were talking about going to see it.
Excuse me. No, the wife took Olivia, and they went opening day, but I was not able to attend because
So you haven't seen the new Frozen cartoon yet?
I have not. I've heard about it. It's been recounted to me in painstaking detail, as only a four-year-old can do, over and over again. So but I feel like I've seen it, but I haven't actually seen it, no.
She just mentioned it just the one time, though, and then moved on to something else, right?
She really takes a great deal of joy explaining to me exactly what's happening that's new in the relationship between Elsa and her sister Anna. So
I see.
I'm getting a blow-by-blow description of the new elements introduced to their relationship. See, because it's Anna's birthday.
I see.
And Elsa wants to do something special for
her. I don't really need to know about it, actually.
You sure?
I'm fine. I
feel like I've seen it. I could probably...
I'm fine. I just was curious.
Talking about musicals, like Frozen, another feature film musical is on the way. Beautiful, the Carole King musical, is going to be headed to the big screen.
Hmm.
Now, this was, if you're not familiar, one of the, what they call a jukebox musical, which is they take all the songs from a popular artist and they wrap a story around it. And this was pretty much the story of Carole King, how she became a popular songwriter alongside her husband of the time, Jerry Goffin. And then his substance abuse and issues led them to divorce. And she went on not only to write music her own self, but become a very popular recording artist and had a lot of hits in the 70s. So it's a story of her life, basically, along with her music. And Tom Hanks has got the project. He's going to be producing it.
All right.
I think that should be a good movie.
It could be. I don't think there's much of an audience out there for people who are that interested in Carole King's life.
Well, I mean, it's a compelling story.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I wouldn't have thought it'd be that much of an audience for, Mamma Mia. At least not here in the States, anyway.
Right.
I mean, yeah, overseas, obviously, much
be good.
Bigger. But we'll have to wait and see. Is there an audience for Andrew Dice Clay?
No.
Showtime. Showtime's giving him his own half-hour series based on his life. You get to see him trying to resurrect his career while supporting his family and his girlfriend and his ex-fiancée and his ex-wife and his mother-in-law and his son's band and all that stuff there. Interested?
He did get good notices in Blue Jasmine.
He was great in Blue Jasmine.
Yeah.
I think he's a talented actor. I just don't know whether that persona still has legs or not.
Right.
Unbelievable.
The fact that you do the arm motions
you got to.
Is a beautiful thing.
You got to live.
Nobody can see it,
you
but I
live
it.
It.
It's good.
Ozzy Osbourne has his own comic book now. Oh. It's by Blue Water Productions. They do a lot of illustrated biography comic books. And this one is called Ozzy Osbourne, the Metal Madman. You can get it in print or as a download. But Ozzy, finally a comic book superhero.
Right.
As he should be. And Jessica Paré. Who, of course, is best known as Mrs. Don Draper. All right, easy there.
I may love her.
Well, you may be a little late, because she and her boyfriend just announced the arrival of their new baby.
He's not right for her.
How do you know? Do you know who her boyfriend is?
No, I didn't know she had a boyfriend until this moment.
John Kastner is his name, and together they have a beautiful, bouncing baby boy.
He had sex with her?
He already has an 8-year-old daughter with his ex-wife, Nicole DeBoer, but this is Jessica's first shot at motherhood. What do you think they named? I think it's a boy. I'm not sure.
Huh.
I really don't know. I can't tell. Certainly from the name, I can't tell whether it's a boy or a girl.
I can't imagine.
Blues.
Hmm.
Blues.
The child's name is Blues?
Blues Kastner.
Not Blue.
Nope.
Blues.
Blues, as in singing the...
Huh.
Lady sings the blues. Huh. Blues Anthony Paré Kastner. So I guess it is a boy. His middle name's Anthony. Blues Anthony Paré Kastner is his name.
That's a choice.
Well, he won't get teased because there's nothing with the word blues in it that kids like to watch. So when he's a little kid and he's a toddler playing with his little classmates, blues won't come up at all. Oh, wait a minute! You've doomed him to Blue's Clues for the rest of his life. Well done, parents. Well done.
Yeah, that's bad.
Let's take a look at today's... Oh, I forgot this email. This was sad to me. Mark Medina wrote in. I was sad to get his email. It says, "Hey, Ralph, my name is Mark. Recently was set up on a date by a friend. Everything went good for a couple of weeks. But then she began to act weird.
and would go on rants about conspiracy theories, so I eventually had to break up with her. I realized it was because she was part of the Illuminati.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
She was part of the Illuminati. She was a part of the Illuminati. She was a part of the Illuminati.
Next.
Come on. Illuminati!
You don't care about that.
I do care about that. Now I'm done. Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine Keener's 56 years old today. Blur singer Damon Albarn is 47. Reggie Watts starting off tonight as the Late Late Show band leader alongside James Corden. I can't wait to see that show. 43 years old today. Randall Park, very funny and talented actor. He is 41. Kerry Russell's 39, as is the lovely and talented Michelle Monaghan. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. By the way, I just want to mention, there's always lots of reasons to go to KevinAbean.com or KROQ.com, but the new Mini-Mation is up. Have you seen this one yet, Ralph?
I have seen it, yes.
Kevin Abean Robots.
Yes.
Funny.
One of my favorite morning show moments was when we took the brains of Kevin and Bean and we downloaded them into some robots, and the results were fascinating.
I am. I have to tell you, I'm used to pretty shoddy work at KROQ.com, but whoever they've got doing this animation is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah,
I mean, it really, really looks good.
It's because they went out of house for it.
They must have.
They
right?
did. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody here at the station.
Anyway, so they've started to animate some of the Kevin and Bean stuff from the past, and I think it's very, very funny, and you definitely ought to check it out if you want to. It's at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. This is my first day back from vacation. I was gone last week. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to talk Ralph into believing me when I say that Mississippi was an excellent choice as a vacation spot. But I'm going to try.
Do you have an atlas with like most of the pages ripped out?
No.
And you open it up and say, oh, well, I guess this is where there's only four places in the world. So I guess I'm going to go to Mississippi now. That's where I'll go on vacation.
How far down on the list would Mississippi be for you, Ralph?
I would never live that long to have to go on a vacation to Mississippi.
All right,
way I'd ever get there. That's how long the list is.
How about if you just restricted it to within the United States? If you were going to take a vacation in the U.S., where would Mississippi be?
Again?
Still no?
There's not enough paper to write the list where the last page would have Mississippi on it.
No!
Unless I really have decided to take up racism as a hobby, I can't imagine ever donning my pointy white hood and going down to Mississippi.
I will tell you that I was very much in the minority in the great state of Mississippi. It was nice to hang out once again with my soul brothers and soul sisters. Mm-hmm. I did feel good about that because I live in an area that is predominantly white.
Right.
So it was nice to get out there and have a little soul food. You know what I mean?
At the Waffle House?
At the Waffle House, sure.
What did you eat at the Waffle House?
I had a waffle and eggs.
That's soul food. Wow, it's just like chitlins and collard greens. I can't believe it.
How about you, Allie? What's your sense when you hear Mississippi as a vacation destination?
It wouldn't be one of my choices, but I have to say, I kind of respect you for going off the beaten path. You could do the New York cities, the places that everybody goes to.
Places where there are things to do and people to see.
But I respect him for going to places that a lot of people consider flyover. You would never go.
Right.
Because now we get to hear these stories.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. Another edition of Bean's Horrible Vacation.
Look, here's the other thing, Ralph, and this is another way that you and I are very different, and this makes sense that Mississippi wouldn't work for you, because Mississippi, it's not like Las Vegas where you just fly in and everything's within 3 miles. If you're going to Mississippi, you've got to hit the road. It's a road trip state. You have to rent a car in Jackson, and then you just have to drive to all the places all over the state. And you're not a guy who likes being in a car for 8 hours a day like I am.
I'm 8 hours a day.
Not a road trip
Nobody wants to drive for 8 hours a day, first of all. But second of all, what could they possibly have in Mississippi that you would leave one location from and then go to another to get? Well, how different could they be?
All right. For instance, I went to Vicksburg, which, of course, is one of the great Civil War battlefields. And I'm very interested in the Civil War. And that was fascinating to go and actually walk the grounds and see where 20,000 people died in a 7-week war during the Civil War.
Nope.
I mean, just Just being there in person and seeing that is, it's
that
just chilling.
Like a great vacation. That's good times.
Were there any live reenactments, or was it just looking through papers?
Was the
museums?
War over? Was the war over when you got there?
The war is over. Yeah.
So no war was going on then. It was just some ground where a war happened.
Yes, but you actually see. They actually map out for you. You actually see where where the stands were, like where the south was and where the north was, and where the battles were fought, and who were the major players involved.
My neighborhood where I live now, dinosaurs used to walk around there, so that's why I like it too.
Then you go to Meridian, Mississippi, and you go to the Jimmie Rodgers Museum. You get to see that. He's the father of country music.
Jimmie Rodgers is the father of country music.
Yes.
He's the little-known father of country music.
That's right. He only had a career for 5.5 years till he died of tuberculosis, but he's the guy who kind of laid the groundwork for the country music that we know and love today.
So far, let's check these things up. We've got mass murder, civil war, and tuberculosis covered. Okay.
Nope.
Here we go.
Tupelo, Mississippi, of course. You get to visit the Elvis Presley Birth House and Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about that? I mean, as a music fan,
was Elvis
to go
there by any chance? Was he
well,
still there?
Well, no. I mean, he's dead for a number of years, but to actually go and see and stand in the little room where the king of rock and roll was born, you go, wow, this is history. This is cool to see this in person. No?
Yes. I say yes on that.
You would say yes to that, right?
For sure.
If you if your car broke down by the on the roadside in Tupelo, then maybe while they're putting a new water pump in,
you'd walk over.
Maybe you walk over to there and maybe you go see that house. That's the only way that happens.
I went to Clarksdale, Mississippi, which all blues fans know is the heart of the Mississippi Delta. That's where you get your John Lee Hooker and your Charlie Patton and your Son House and you get Muddy Waters and all of those people. Mississippi Fred McDowell. All those people came from that part of the country
and went somewhere else.
Well, many of them
did. They started there, and you know what they did? They left that place. The greats left that place. You're doing it backwards and going back to that place that they all left from.
But isn't there something? Look, how can I put this in Ralph Garvin terms? Let's say you love Hollywood. You love movies. Aren't you the kind of guy who would get excited about going to see a location where the scene from your favorite movie was shot? Like, if you loved Forrest Gump, well, here's where Forrest ran down that road. You would get a charge out of seeing something like that, right?
Ooh, not really. No, no.
Because for me, going to the place where that music was born, where the blues began, that's significant to me.
But
I mean,
do you go to see them play it? Are they playing it there? Is there a concert of some kind? Is there a festival, a music festival? Are you just standing and saying, yep, here I am. This is the place. There it is. It sure is. This neighborhood sure is where something happened a long time ago.
It's the Delta Blues Museum. I mean, there is a museum where you see artifacts of and outfits of and guitars by and things like that.
All right, there's something, at least something.
Yeah, you do see that. I mean, you see a recreation of the shack that Muddy Waters used to live in. You see that.
You get the recreation of the shack.
Not the actual real one.
You can't get your hands on the shack. The shack's long gone.
I also went to a number of graves while I was in Mississippi.
Of course you did. See, here's the difference between you and me. Some people go to graves, and some people don't.
I went to Robert Johnson's grave. And he, of course, the famous Crossroads guitarist, sold his soul to the devil, the rumor is, and died of 27 years old and is buried there.
But he's just surrounded by the death of famous people.
The way you're twisting everything that I say about Mississippi to try to make it sound
great.
Bad.
It sounds
all
like
right?
a great trip.
How about when I went down to Biloxi Gulfport and saw what's left of that area after Katrina? How about when I did that?
The minute you got to what's left of something, you've lost me. I only like to go where things actually still are.
But there used to be so much stuff on the beach down there before Katrina, though, Ralph.
And now it's all gone. Now it's just remnants.
I bet it was something 15 years ago.
I bet it was.
There you go.
You just missed it.
So you're out on Mississippi itself.
No,
like.
Sounds like a great time. I can't wait to book my trip.
Woo for you. Ooh, you. Ooh, I leave it all.
I think you're onto something, Ralph. I think that's Adam Sandler.
Oh, I do it all. Kevin Chapin, man, a movie, and I think you're going to like it. Ooh, doobie-doo. It's all pixels that we blow up, Pac-Man, and it's really hard. Ooh, doobie-doo.
Why is he using the name George Ezra? That's very strange.
No idea.
That is Budapest on K-Rock 106.7.
I think Adam Sandler's better than Ezra.
Whoa.
Come on.
No, file.
Oh, no.
File
no.
with extreme prejudice.
No.
Hey,
No.
Rob is over the showbiz beat.
You
By the way,
done professionally, mate.
One other thing I forgot to tell you that I thought was fascinating, Ralph.
Because I'm a little about Mississippi. Again?
It is about Mississippi.
Oh,
yeah.
For sweet Jesus.
I'm a little bit of I'm not a crazy fanatic historian guy, but I am interested in the Civil War. It's crazy to me that happened in this country, that brother fought brother. But when I was at the Jefferson Davis Presidential Museum and Library.
Sure, like you do.
Like you do. I got into a conversation with some other tourists, all from the South, and I found out that it is not referred to as the Civil War in the South. It's the War of Northern Aggression. That's how they look at it.
They don't really say that.
That's what they said. And that Jefferson Davis is a hero to them, not a traitor. I mean, it was really interesting to hear the perspective.
How can you go to Mississippi when this still exists, when those people are still there?
I thought it was fascinating to hear their perspective. And for many of them, it wasn't even a slavery thing, which I think is ridiculous because it was a slavery thing. To them, it was a states' rights war. That's what it was about.
Yeah. So, you know what the right was that they were fighting for? The states' right?
To own people.
To let black people pick our cotton for no money.
I know.
That was the state's right they wanted to have.
But there are millions of people, though, in the South that exist today in 2015, and I just don't...
Right.
I think it's
that
good.
Was our only mistake. We didn't finish the Civil War. That was the only problem we made.
I just think there's something to be said for acknowledging and speaking with those people, not just ignoring them. That's all. That's part of why I enjoyed my vacation down there so much, I think. So.
Or the real tragedy was we didn't let them leave the Union when they wanted to. And they had them their own little weird country that eventually we could just wipe them off the map, right?
So
who's with me?
So you think
let's
just
bomb the South? Bomb the South? Who's
well,
with me? Bomb
I don't. I don't think.
Why
no,
is
I don't.
No one chanting with me? Bomb the South.
I think you're
bomb
on your
the,
own.
What? Come on, everybody!
I don't think that's
bomb the South. I can't get a little bomb the South.
No,
chant
I don't
going?
Think. I don't think we're going for another war of Northern Aggression.
What do we do?
Wait, is he there?
All right, showbiz time now. Here's Ralph one more time on a Monday.
Is this what I have to look forward to? Is this what I have to look forward to?
What's that?
As I read this story out of Boulder, Colorado this week, where a 12-year-old girl was very upset with her mother for taking away her iPhone.
Okay.
And so she made her mom a smoothie. And mom felt sick after drinking the smoothie.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
And then she realized the smell of bleach was coming from a glass of water when she asked for her daughter to get her some water. And it turned out that the daughter had filled the smoothie and the glass of water both with bleach and was trying to poison and kill her mother because she took away her iPhone.
Yeah, that's what you're looking forward to.
Is that what I'm going to get now?
I think so.
In 8 years, is that what all the hard work's for?
Don't
kid try to poison me because I took away her iPhone.
Don't take away your kid's phone, man.
12-year-old girl tried to murder her mother with poisoning her with bleach.
Yeah, that's rough.
She is now in a local juvenile center on 2 counts of attempted first-degree murder. That's going to go on her permanent record when she gets to middle school,
hope
right?
So that's why I watch Dateline.
I know you love the murder.
Yes.
You love the murder plans.
I do.
All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office because that's what we do on Mondays. Insurgent was number one, as expected. Made about $55 million. Right behind it, though, not right behind it, but pretty close behind it, with $35 million, was Cinderella with a strong weekend. Made it number two, Run All Night. The Gunman and Kingsman rounded out the top 5 movies at the box office. Do You Believe was 6th. The second Exotic Marigold Hotel came in at number 7. Then Focus, Chappie, and the SpongeBob movie. One of the stars of that second Exotic Marigold Hotel, Dame Maggie Smith, is in the news because they're talking about her TV series, Downton Abbey. Looks like it'll be ending after season 6. What season are we in right now, Bean? You're the Downton Abbey fan.
Season 6 is going to be the next one.
So that's the one coming up.
So they're saying one more, I guess.
So this will be it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Apparently, all of the cast contracts expire at the end of the 6th season, and many of the actors are eager to move on, so it looks like the entire Crawley family will be leaving.
It's been an excellent series, though.
Maggie Smith says, regarding her character, she can't see how it can go on. I mean, I certainly can't keep going. To my knowledge, my character must be 110 by now. We're into the late 1920s. So I guess she's figuring that it's time to move on as well. Bobby Christina Brown has been relocated from Emory University Hospital to a rehab facility in Atlanta.
Has she improved that much?
No, that's why people are confused. Doctors tried to remove her from life support again at the hospital, but she remained unresponsive. It was not a good move. They put her back on life support, but apparently Bobby Brown refuses to give up hope and believes that his daughter will come out of a coma, so he's moving her to a long-term rehab facility and out of the hospital. So, look, I hope he's right, but how long can that continue?
I don't know. Every once in a while, you'll hear a story about someone who...
Yeah, there are miracles.
They don't pull a plug on, and then 4 months later, they wake up like nothing happened.
Right.
It's just, I mean, and that's, of course, what the family members hope and pray for, but it just so rarely works out that way.
I know. Furious 7, set to open on April the 3rd, and Universal Studios Hollywood is already working on a new ride featuring the movie. The ride, in which visitors will get to go on a high-speed chase, will be a 3D movie wraparound event with stars of the film starring in the 3D movie, and it will be at the end of the theme park's signature studio tour. So when you go on the tram and you go through the tour, this will be the final aspect of that tour for you. Sounds like a great idea.
Sounds like a fantastic idea. People love high-speed chases.
I agree.
If people could simulate that, oh my God, they'd be all over it.
That'd be so cool. And Snoop Dogg working on a new drama series for HBO. How about that? He is going to help create and produce a series set in Los Angeles in the early 80s about a family whose life is turned upside down by the collision of their community and American politics. It'll be about growing up in the hood in the 80s, something Snoop knows about.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to it. I think he does good work. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Catherine Keener is 56 years old. Blur singer Damon Albarn is 47. Reggie Watts, comedian and now band leader on The Late Late Show on CBS. He is 43. Just a reminder, tonight is the first episode of James Corden taking over for The Late Late Show. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Tom Hanks is his guest. And Mila Kunis also stopping by.
I love what they're doing. I know you talked to Mr. Corden on Friday when I was out, but I love what they're doing where they're having all the guests come out at once and kind of making it a conversation rather than an interview. I think that's great.
And we mentioned to James that, you know, that if you ever watched that Graham Norton show out of the UK on the BBC America channel, he does that to great success. And James said, yeah, the only difference is Graham Norton's a genius. So he's not promising the same success, but I think it's a good idea. Randall Park, very funny and talented actor. He is 41 years old. Kerry Russell's 39. And Michelle Monaghan, who will be seen soon in Pixels, the new Adam Sandler movie, which he sings about in that song. Ooh, Scooby-Doo, I'm going to stop all the video games from killing us too, Scooby-Doo. She's 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thank you, Allie. We'll try it again tomorrow with another Tuesday Kevin and Bean show. I think this is going to be good. Our friend Simon Pegg joins us tomorrow. What's this Kill Me Three Times? I'm not familiar with that one.
It's a new movie where he plays a hitman in it, and it looks awesome. I love Simon Pegg.
Because he's also in the Mission Impossible, too, right?
He is. He's That's all over him. That trailer, yeah.
The great Conor McGregor is going to be joining us in studio talking about the upcoming UFC 189, fighting Jose Aldo. That's great. We love Conor. Excited to have him back on the program. We got your tickets for April Foolishness on the show. And I think tomorrow, Ralph, we may talk to some Kevin and Bean listeners who, like me, like to visit graves when they
great.
Travel.
Great. Good. We'll have ghoul talk. Ghoul talk on the Kevin and Bean show.
We got all of that tomorrow and much, much more. So come on back. We'll see you in the morning here on K-Rock.